Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
D1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the first time since 95, a Browns rookie quarterback won his NFL debut. Shedeur Sanders got the nod for Cleveland yesterday in Las Vegas, but the Browns defense was the story. Cleveland sacked Geno Smith 10 times en route to a 24-10 win. Myles Garrett had three of them. The Raiders fired offensive coordinator Chip Kelly after the loss. As for the Bengals, Cincinnati lost at home to New England 26-20. Bengals are 3-8 and will play Baltimore on Thursday night. Joe Burrow is expected to make his return on Thanksgiving. Week 12 wraps up tonight in San Francisco. The 49ers will host the Panthers at 8:15. And it's Michigan week for number one Ohio State. Buckeyes are 9.5-point favorites over the 18th-ranked Wolverines. Ryan Dale joined Buckeye Roundtable tonight at 6:30. That's 1460 on the AM dial for that. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Mark Levy's office at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP. That's 1-800-MORE-SLEEP. Or visit him online at sleepbettercolumbus.com.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Let's do it live. Let's do it live. It's a Monday, kids. It's Michigan week Monday. Bo of the boys with you for the next three. If you don't get chills from that, I can't help you. There's something primal within each and every one of us, whether you are a Buckeye or a Wolverine, that when this week comes along, you get the chills. They've been doing this for 120 years. They have played 120 times. These two teams have played. They'll play for the 121st time on Saturday up in Ann Arbor. There is something that it connects us. It is the tie that binds us. There is a border that we share and not much else. The colors are diametrically opposed. The scarlet and gray versus the maize and blue. There aren't much in terms of ideals that you share other than location. That's about it. And at stake on Saturday is such a unique thing for this Buckeye football team. It is such a unique thing. This Ohio State football program is the standard with which all other college football programs are currently judged. There isn't anybody in the sport that's done a better job of mixing the tradition with the modern era of the sport, with an NIL component, with a transfer portal diligence, a player retention that we've never seen before. You want to talk about two coordinators leave and you go and get two guys who are more than up to it. Every single button that Ryan Day pushes at Ohio State has been right. Except for this one. This is the one that's hanging out there. It is such a weird spot. I suppose from a global sports world perspective, it would be, I mean, I've said this before, like Ohio State is Real Madrid. I suppose it would be if Real Madrid won La Liga, won the Champions League, won all of it, but lost to Barcelona the two times they played him. There would be something empty to it. Is it the same as it was in the 10-year war? No, probably not. I mean, if you read about about Bo and Woody in that time, one of the common things, especially from the Ohio State perspective, was the obsession that Woody had with Michigan, to the point that even sometimes it hurt them when it came to postseason or national championship, because all that really mattered to him was beating Michigan. That's what mattered. You think about Earl going 5-4 in the game and what it meant to him. And I remember when I used to do the coach's show with Coach Bruce, this week he would always say on this edition of the coach's show, "You're nothing in this town if you don't beat Michigan. You hear me? Nothing." And it resonated. You got to walk the back alleys. Like that's what he would say. Now the sport has changed. There's a Big Ten championship game and there's a national championship that Ohio State won last year. And perhaps the loss to Michigan was the catalyst to it. We'll never know. There's no question that after that loss, the version of Ohio State that we saw was the one that we had all hoped to see. This year, it's been a little bit different. It's been a slow burn to this week. The eyes of the college football world were on you in the opener against Texas. College game day, big noon, everything that came with it. And then we kind of went away. And we win and we cover and we win and we cover and they take care of business week after week after week. And you get through this November slog of 30 plus point favorites every single time out. And most of the time it is so easy. But it was always about this. It's always been about this. If you go back to conversations that we had in July, we said what? We didn't talk about winning a national championship. God, whoever thought that? They were placing 8 starters on defense alone. You didn't think they were just going to flip a switch and go track down another national title. They have far exceeded any expectation that anybody had for them. Far. Already. But the one thing we said in July was, it's time to beat Michigan. It is time to beat Michigan. And you're going to go up there on Saturday, and by God, they're going to be able to do it. And it's my hunch that much of what's happened here over the last month was all in preparation for this. They were playing Purdue, but they were playing winged helmets. They were playing UCLA, but they were seeing Navy. They were playing Rutgers, but they were hearing "Hail to the Victors" in their head the entire time that game was being played. This has all been building towards this. How do you manage it? How do you handle it? Think about coaching players who have achieved all that these players have achieved. There's not a watch list in college football that does not have multiple Buckeyes on it. Every kid who has contributed, who is back for at least a second season, non-freshman, has a national championship ring. But they don't have gold pants. And they'd like some. I think Sonny Styles would like some gold pants. And I think a lot of his teammates would too. And you can't cheat that part of it. There's only one way to get it. And you're going to have the opportunity to do it Saturday at noon in Ann Arbor. Handle your business. You do that, and now we're talking immortality. And it's heavy, but that's what you sign up for. You didn't come here not expecting this. This one's in the brochure, guys. And I can't wait to see how this week goes. We got a lot of special things planned for you this week on the show. I can't wait to get to Saturday at noon. I don't like turkey anyway. Skip it. Let's go. I can't wait to see toe to football and away we go in Ann Arbor. I don't know what to expect. And that's what the last 4 years have kind of done. Because before that, you walked around 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Beat them every year. This has been different. I don't care what the spread is. I don't care who's in, who's out. This is a show-me state time for the Ohio State program. They don't get many of these, but they got one this week.
January 21st, everybody woke up, or everybody, I guess, you didn't sleep much after Ohio State wins the national championship game, but you see Texas on the schedule to open the season, the 2025 season, and you go, yeah, but beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. Like, this has only been on the minds of Ohio State fans since they summited college football's mountaintop last year. Like, this was the only thing that really mattered this season. I kind of thought there'd be the slow, long plod to it. You didn't think it'd turn out like this. You thought maybe a Penn State would give you a little bit of juice. Mm-hmm. But to your point about the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks, It's all been the build. Will this work against Michigan? Will that work against Michigan? Hey, we're going to throw our quarterback, and then we're going to pull our quarterback, and then we're going to have the Lincoln Keenholz package. Will that work against Michigan? Because nothing matters. Nothing matters if you don't beat this team on Saturday. And to your point about kind of just going through a lot of motions, you know, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, I don't think there's anybody in Buckeye Nation that would expect those two to not see the field Saturday.
Who knows?
I am actually happy. I usually don't care what Michigan does throughout the season. I don't care if they lose every game usually. And I know people's like, well, if they're better, that helps you. I don't care. I want to see them lose every game. But I'm actually happy that especially down the stretch here, Michigan has acted accordingly. Because there is a little bit of pressure on them in this game. Mm-hmm. If they did not have a shot at getting in the Big Ten championship and a shot at playing in the playoffs, they would have absolutely nothing to lose in this game. This would be their season. But they do have a little bit of pressure on them. And I like that because it seems like, especially from our perspective being here, that the pressure has been on Ohio State and Ryan Day ever since they won that national championship. And you can say, well, that national championship took a lot of pressure off of him, but all of that pressure comes right back if they don't act like they have all season long and do what they're supposed to do and go in and take care of business and beat a team that is inferior to them. All of it comes right back. All of it. And we can all say, well, no, no, maybe not. And for some people, maybe it's okay because the national championship is still obtainable. And if you do win back-to-back, regardless of what happens this Saturday, this is different, though. And in this town, it's different. And you have to, you don't have to win this game, but you have to win this game. And I think everybody understands, and that makes sense. Even though when you say it, it makes no sense.
Think of the recent history that this program's accomplished. The first 4-team college football playoff champion, first 12-team college football playoff champion, a 7-0 run by one of your head coaches against Michigan. And yet this streak dating back to 2019, where you haven't beaten Michigan, is the most pressure any of them have ever faced, anybody's ever faced in that building.
Well, yeah. And there's this crazy stuff with it, right? Like they bailed in 2020 because of COVID. As if they couldn't field a team, and they bailed in 2020, which, by the way, guys, had you won that one, that would have been your ninth straight, which would have tied their record for the most consecutive wins in the series. And then you have Stallions and all of the stuff that comes with all of that. But that's what makes this thing so, that's why it's been such a bitter pill, and that's what makes this rivalry so great. I mean, it's a great story in the HBO documentary, which you haven't seen. I can't not possibly recommend it more highly enough. The boys and I will watch it on Friday. We always do. Where Woody Hayes is serving dinner in Ann Arbor. And Archie tells this story about how the waitresses are a little too good looking for Woody. And Woody sent the waitresses out. Sent them out. Saying Bo sent him in there to infiltrate our dinner. And I won't be having any of that. Tom Skladaney tells a great story about it. That's where we're at. There's going to be nerves. There's going to be apprehension. It really, you probably won't breathe until this thing goes final on Saturday. But don't ever take it for granted.
This is why we love this.
This is why we're here, man. This is why you're here. That's why you love it. It's the good and the bad and all of it. It's the scars from the losses. It's the smiles that never end from the wins. This is what makes it all so special to do this show here and to be a Buckeye fan. Now, crazy Saturday. They covered, but it was a weird one. We will get to that because I think, quite honestly, it needs a little bit of a chat. We'll get to that coming up next. Austin Ward in 16 minutes. We're off and running on a Michigan Week Monday edition. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, Bob.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Can't get enough enough of your favorite fan content? Good news. We're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine here for your Monday with highs into the mid to upper 50s here before this afternoon. Winds fairly light at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Heading into tonight, we're tracking more clouds and eventually some rain arriving after midnight, which will continue into the day on Tuesday. Highs are in the upper 50s here on your Tuesday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
It's Reaction Monday, where our highly trained experts talk football.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Your home for reaction and overreaction, The Fan. What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a Reaction Monday edition of the program. Just some breaking news. I see Pete Thamel, ESPN, reporting that the OHSAA has approved NIL for high school athletes in the state of Ohio. Ohio was one of six states that did not have it, so that will change effective, I would think, immediately on that side of things. The probably bigger, we can explore this a little bit coming up at 11:20, but I think you're going to see some pretty seismic shifting in the sport where the private schools are, as if they weren't already. I think you're going to see an even bigger shift towards that. Go ahead, Reese.
Well, I just think it's one of those situations where, long time coming, but also the haves just get richer, if that makes sense to
say. Yeah. I don't know how
it's
you,
all above board.
Yeah. I don't know how you know, it's been going on for a long time, and it, you know, it's part of it. You've always heard whispers of, you know, dad gets a job as a principal in a school, or dad gets a job in a certain town so the, you know, little Timmy can play quarterback, those type of things. It's been going on for a long time, but now what you're going to have is you're going to have at the private schools, especially, and with schools with open enrollment, you're going to have a much easier path towards that. So it's going to be, if you're, especially, you know, Cincinnati, Cleveland, if you're in those areas, like, and I think you'll even see a little bit here. I think you'll see the private schools really amp up here in a big way, as if they're not already. Watterson's hasn't lost in a while, but I think you'll see that, where you'll start to see some, a lot of pay for play stuff at the private schools around here too.
Time for UA to shine, allegedly.
Time to really get after it. Yeah. So there you go on that side of things. This was a weird senior day at Ohio Stadium Saturday. And Reese, you said on Monday, we're not going to talk about it at all. It probably deserves a little bit of a examination from the standpoint of, it's got to be so weird to coach in a game where you have no threat of loss. None. I would think you would try to build momentum towards the game this week, but also, like, very clearly the attitude was kind of like, let's just get this over with. It's kind of what it felt like. It was almost, it was like if you played like one of the video games, like the college football or Madden, and you're like, yeah, I'm just going to play defense, or I'm just going to play offense. Like, let's just get this done in 20 minutes. Let's have a running clock. Now, you can't do that because the Fox breaks, they have 1,000 breaks, and every break is 7 minutes long. So those really weigh on you on a noon kick. The only thing that, there's so many things that I had questions about. I had questions about the receivers who didn't play. Not just 4 and 17, like I kind of figured those two wouldn't play, but the other receivers who didn't play. Basically, it seemed as if that there was one pass catcher that Julian trusted to be where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there, and that was Max Clair, and that was kind of it. They ran it a lot, obviously, but it was kind of let's just get through it. And then even at quarterback, they did some crazy things. On a random second down, they brought in Lincoln to throw it. Like, I don't know if it was putting stuff on tape for Michigan. I don't know what it was, but it was just an odd game. They end up covering, of course, by a half point, because everybody covers by a half point. I think I almost nailed it exactly. I think I said 42-10 and it ended up 42-9. What did you make watching this game where you have no threat of loss, kind of a different approach? I've never seen Ryan do that at quarterback, where he was bringing in Lincoln just randomly. I thought they kept Julian in longer than he needed to be, so that one surprised me a little bit too. What did you guys make of it?
I think for the quarterback thing, it shows why, or at least it shows why there was such a quarterback competition, because they love Lincoln so much and the different things he can bring. But Lincoln on the field shows you why Julian won the job, and obviously Julian being great. David Adolf was the first receiver to catch a pass for Ohio State, and it didn't come until like the second quarter on like a third and six. And so I think maybe Mylon Graham's in the doghouse a bit.
Sure didn't make sense. So I don't remember seeing five in the first half.
Quincy Porter was on the injury report, so he was out.
I didn't see five either.
But then Mylon Graham didn't come out till the third quarter.
And I don't believe Graham was in much.
No. No, I don't think so.
And I know he wasn't targeted. Very interesting. Ohio State, and we kind of talked about it, especially when we didn't think Smith and Tate would play, and then we got the news on Saturday that they definitely were not playing. We kind of figured this would be a heavy run game, and I think Ohio State ran the ball on their first four or five plays. Bo Jackson got 19 carries. That's I believe the first time he's come close to 20. I could be wrong about that. Isaiah West got 8, and then they sprinkled in some others between Donaldson, Peoples, and Lincoln Keenholz. It's one of those games where you're like, man, I don't know what's – Ohio State's not really playing well. But then you look up and you're like, oh, we bet this at 32.5. This is going to end 35-3, and we're all going to miss the cover by a half. And then Rutgers scores, and you're like, well, that stinks. And then Ohio State breaks off a long run with Peoples there, which I think was 49 yards, so we didn't get the 50-yard touchdown in the running game like we've been looking for, but it sure was close. And, yeah, I mean – it's just of a lot of Ohio State games this year where, like, they're playing pretty good, but they could be playing better, and this game is closer than it actually feels, and then all of a sudden it isn't.
Yeah, the dam breaks, and they can't move the football at all. I think the Bo Jackson fumble on the first drive just kind of set everything back.
Yeah.
I mean, if he puts that in the paint, then I think it's like, you know, it's 21-0 at half. And look, and this is the thing that's so hard. It's been hard for a month, honestly, guys. I mean, we do this every single Monday. We come on here and we try to break down what happened or what didn't. And, I mean, we have not seen Carnell Tate since Penn State. I mean, he was on a trajectory of being an All-American receiver. He hasn't played in a month. In a month. Now we haven't seen Jeremiah in a game and a half. And yeah, I didn't know what happened to the young receivers. I don't know what happened there. I mean, Brandon Innes was only targeted 4 times. I mean, it was pretty much Claire. Like he had 7 for 105. It was like, we're just throwing to Max.
When Adolf came out to start the game, I was like, oh, that's really cool. They're giving him a senior day start. And then he didn't leave the field.
No. Uh-uh. No. So, you know, they know what's going on there. It's going to be tight-lipped. All this stuff will be quiet. And all that really is going to matter is Saturday. But after a month of very difficult, they've all been building towards this, right? All of these have been building towards this, and there's never been a threat of loss. And so this is just this one to me felt the most of all of them of let's just get through it. Here's Ryan on the seniors leaving the shoe with a great win.
And again, for the seniors, you know, can't thank them enough publicly. I've done it before, but I want to do it again. You know, the true warriors on the field and everything they've done, because, you know, they put it on the field. They're the ones. And so, on behalf of everybody at Ohio State, you know, these seniors deserve to be thanked for what they've done. Certainly what they've done for me and my family and all the coaches and for the brothers. And that's why, you know, it was our obligation to make sure we did our best for them to make sure that their last game on the field was special. And I think they had a great game and they played hard. And, you know, guys like Caden Curry, what a great play he had. And so great to see them, you know, finish out, you know, senior day with a win like this.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a box that needed to be checked. You needed to play that last game at home, and now you make that trip up to Ann Arbor for what I'm guessing all of those guys really want to procure, which is a win and the gold pants that come with it. Austin Ward, 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery, your destination for handcrafted cocktails, locally inspired dishes, and award-winning whiskey war. Learn more at highbankco.com.
Well, buddy, at long last, here we are. No more 30-point spreads, although this one is 9.5. It feels like we've been waiting for this since, I don't know, since Texas, I suppose, since Penn State fell off. What did you make of the Buckeyes' post-game Rutgers? What did you make kind of the way that they built to this week?
I think it's really impressive, Bo, because, you know, and you just look at the record and say, well, they must be handling their business. It's not like they have any of these games that we've talked about and those large point spreads. Complacency could have crept in at any time. And I think there was one quarter on the road against Illinois where Ohio State took its foot off the gas and lost focus. And that's not happened since then. And that's not easy to do in college football when you're dealing with, you know, coaches say this a lot, with 18, 19, 20 year olds, like you're going to get distracted at times. That's human nature. That is not really happened to this team, and it would have been very tempting to take Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, anybody for granted, and, you know, just start looking ahead to the game and looking, you know, they basically clinched a playoff spot for several weeks, and getting ready for the postseason and all of that, but they really didn't do that. Now we can say that the way that the personnel has been rotated or, you know, injury situations, you know, show that Ryan Day has been willing to, you know, take a different tack, but the guys that were on the field never let up, and I don't think that should be taken for granted.
No, not at all. Can you tell me what in the hell's going on at wide receiver?
not really. I mean,
so strange.
Yeah, I think it begged the question on set. Like, I think the Jeremiah deal. We could certainly look at this and objectively say, well, should you have played him the week before? I saw Jeremiah limping into the stadium against UCLA, and he was questionable for that game. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, Berman and I both said it on the pregame keys on 97.1 The Fan right here, that we didn't think he was going to play, or nor should he play against that caliber of opponents. And they were, the people that I talked to last week were adamant that he didn't make it worse. You know, Jeremiah had asked to play, like basically was not demanding, but he was saying he was good to go and wanted mm-hmm. to play against UCLA. I still don't believe that he did make it worse in that game. I can understand the question, like, should you have taken that chance? But the Buckeyes didn't feel like they did, and they didn't need him to beat Rutgers. So they did take that more conservative approach with him on Saturday. I don't believe that his status, honestly, no one I've talked to has suggested that he's in any way in jeopardy of missing Saturday in the Big House. You know, with Parnell, I just think it's less clear with, you know, some of these muscle injuries. You know, there had been people that told me, and I said this to you last Monday, Bo, that Carnell, as he'd gone through the preparations for Purdue, that you know, he could be back against UCLA, he could be back the following week against Rutgers, and neither of those things have happened. And I don't think that that's a sign of something more serious or a season-ending injury. I think that with those particular situations, you want to be 100% certain mm-hmm. everybody involved, Carnell, training staff, coaching staff, agents, like everyone is going to be involved in that decision. And there is no, you know, guaranteed rehabilitation time to be at full strength for that. And everyone's going to be different and the severity is going to be different. So I can't sit here and say, and I don't think anyone can say at Ohio State that he's definitely going to play Carnell against Michigan. And I can't say that against for Jeremiah either, but I know that the severity of the injury he's been dealing with was less than Carnell, and I feel much more comfortable saying that Jeremiah will play, and I simply don't know for Carnell. We're going to have to wait to see until closer to Saturday.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, very similar. Beyond that, though, even the young guys.
Yeah, no, I think that was a little bit of a mess on Saturday.
Right?
And I think that, because I came into that thinking on Saturday, well, these are going to be key reps for Bryson Rogers. It's to be an opportunity for Mylon Graham. You know, Quincy Porter had been back in the lineup the week before, and then, you know, that there must have been some setback that we weren't aware of. I didn't even really think to ask about Quincy with so much attention being on Jeremiah and Carnell last week. So shame on me for that. But, you know, when you go out there and you play with, you know, a walk-on, former walk-on, I guess I don't know if David Adolph earned that scholarship or not, but at any rate, guys like Bryson and Mylon, who are so highly touted as recruits, and you start that game with David Adolph, and then you see the passing attack drop off as severely as it did. Now, I don't know if that was the most aggressive game plan that Ohio State could cook up. In fact, I'm certain that it wasn't.
No. Yeah.
There were opportunities to throw it down the field where that didn't just happen. And Julian had some chances that I think he may have missed, and we'll, you know, talk about that in the days ahead as well. But, you know, when somebody misses the first half entirely, like Mylon Graham did, and then gets to go out in the second half, that makes me think that it's a different situation than an injury or just practice habits. But it'd be reckless of me to speculate beyond that. But all of it added up to a very weird performance. Is it one that I think carries over all that much to Saturday? Probably not, especially if Jeremiah is back. But it was, especially in the first half, I would just say, Bo, confusing to watch.
Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're confused, then I feel better for being confused myself, because I'm going, well, I don't know what is going on here. I did not have it on my bingo card that was the way that the passing tree was going to look on Saturday. And that was acknowledging that 4 and 17 were not going to play, or very likely were not going to play. This is such a unique spot. Ohio State is the standard with which all other college football programs are measured. They just won the national title. They're chasing immortality, back-to-back national champions. All of these things are at stake. And then there's this thing this week. And it's 121 times by the time we play it on Saturday. What do you make of this week? And what do you hope to hear, see this week leading into Saturday to give you confidence?
Yeah, I think that the way Ryan Day is talking about this game and treating the game this week is different. And if we spent 3-4 years psychoanalyzing, is he trying too hard to prove a point? Does he want to send a message about toughness? Is he getting into his own head, getting into his own way? You know, he's got to adjust that. And I think that he has, and it's not that he is trying in any way to minimize the importance of the rivalry, because he's not, and that will never happen. But this week, like, he moved, we already talked about this during that second off week, where he moved the band coming into practice to earlier in the year. So that potential distraction or a break from the normal routine was changed. Tomorrow and Wednesday, there's availability both days. That's the way they've done it for every game throughout the regular season. So that's another example of just treating this routine as the routine and not breaking it, and trying to maybe unnecessarily ramp up the emotions or the intensity and the stress of this week, because there's enough of it all on its own. So I think, you know, that might seem like a trivial thing. Oh, they're going to do a lightning round on Wednesday, or have the, you know, captains available to talk on Wednesday. That's not a big deal. Maybe it's not, but it'll feel comforting to them, because that's what they've done every single week throughout this year. And I think that there's a lot of those sort of small things that have been tweaked that are not just about, let's try this a week beforehand. They've been planning this out. When you move the band in that day, like, there's a lot of moving pieces that have to go into scheduling that. This has been an 11-month process to get ready for it. So they are still treating it very seriously while trying to make sure that you don't take it too seriously. It's a very fine line. But I think if Ryan goes out on Tuesday, and you and I will be, you know, certainly locked into everything that he says and parsing that as we always do. But if it turns into like the, you know, 2 or 3 word Ryan Day answers, then I might be concerned, because some of that intensity has been overblown, I think, on his part, and it's out of character for him to do that. So what do I need to hear? I'm not sure that I have the answer. I feel like they've laid all the foundation to be ready for Saturday already, and they've put in the process and protocol to be successful. So unless something dramatic happens on the injury front, like, I feel like all the bases have truly already been covered.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like it's, you know, you can make all these changes and various coaches have done different things. I mean, they used to do the press conferences all on Monday at noon in Ann Arbor or down here. Everyone was at noon. Yep. They would go at the same time and you move this, you move that. I think what everybody wants is if this team plays to who they are, they play defense that way and they play offense the way they played offense every weekend, except the last one where it was obviously had their kind of hands tied behind their back at the wide receiver position. They're going to be fine. Like that's what we want to see. That's what you want to see at noon. What do you expect to see at noon on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the clues have been there. This game to me, when the conversation will inevitably come around to running the football or letting Julian be Julian, I think it's how elite the Silver Bullets have been that make the difference in this game, like bar none. And while the offense has been vanilla, I think the last few games you've seen Matt Patricia start to sprinkle in a few things here and there. There was the blitz on Saturday that immediately comes to mind for me with Caleb Downs and Arvell Reed. Like, what are you supposed to do? You're dropping out Caden Curry, who's also, you know, playing like a man on fire, Kenyatta Jackson. But, you know, I think Matt Patricia has done a really good job of keeping those guys engaged and putting enough different, trying to play with some things close to the vest while also putting a number of things that you have to prepare for out there for Bryce Underwood to think about, for Sharon Moore to think about. And the defense was absolutely good enough to win the game last year. We all know that. And they're two missed field goals away, you know, from winning that game. But this is the one that can validate a truly historic season, like, you know, a regular season at least, maybe the best that we've ever seen. You know, they're 4 points per game better than anyone else in the country. They're the only defense holding opponents to under 10 points a game, and they're well under that. It's, I think, 75 total points. Like, it's crazy what they've accomplished. But they also want a challenge like this. Caleb Downs wants to be pushed. Arvell Reese wants to show what he can do. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be really aggressive from Matt Patricia. And it may be a situation where the Buckeyes don't have to do a ton offensively. And I know that they're going to be people saying, well, he should do it anyway. Brian Hartline, they should run it up. They should win by 50. The defense puts Ohio State in a position to dominate this game. That's what I think will happen.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the week. This is why we do this, right?
It's what we get. It's what we do it for. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. Talk to you Monday, hopefully on a victory Monday.
That'd be great. See you, Bo. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, pal. There he goes. Austin Ward, The Beat with Austin Berman, the Roosters live show on YouTube right here at 97.1 The Fan. Coming up next, not just this one, college football this weekend, so much at stake, so much at stake. An early look after a kind of blah weekend for one that's going to have every single I dotted and T crossed. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
I have a special announcement. Common Man and Timmy is the most listened to radio show in the state of Ohio.
Coming in at number 2, Common Sense.
You should listen anyway.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
Give the gift.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
I mean, this weekend's going to be nuts. It is going to be absolutely nuts on the college football side of things. Is there a single Power Four conference championship game decided? Not one, right? Because if BYU loses to UCF, the only one that had a chance was probably that one. If BYU were to lose, I guess Texas Tech isn't in there yet either. They got to win at West Virginia because Arizona State would have the tiebreaker with them. Because Arizona State's two losses are to Utah and Houston. Yeah, so I don't recall this where you have. If you just go conference by conference, the ACC, by the way, the beloved ponies
need to be careful.
Sitting good.
Pretty good indeed. They went out and it's in play the way they're playing. I mean, they have the highest ceiling of any of the ACC teams that are in the mix. I don't think Miami's in the mix because they already have the conference losses, but Miami gets Pitt this weekend. Miami wins that. It's Virginia, SMU in the SEC title game or in the ACC title game. And SMU will be favored in that game. They could be back-to-back playoff participants 2 years in a row. Crazy in that one. Big 12, it all comes down to this weekend. Texas Tech and BYU are the front runners. BYU is playing UCF. Texas Tech is at West Virginia. So they'll be heavily favored in both. Ours is still wide open. Obviously, Indiana is a massive favorite against Purdue, and Ohio State is a massive favorite against Michigan. But if there are losses there, Oregon needs a little bit of help. Michigan needs a little bit of help too, but do they control their own destiny?
If they win, yeah.
What about Oregon though? Like, would they have tiebreakers over Oregon?
I think they need to win and have Oregon lose to Washington,
which is in play. I mean, Washington's a pretty good team. Is that game between Washington and Oregon? It's at Washington. Washington is significantly better at home than they are on the road. So the Big Ten is still wide open in this thing. The Southeastern Conference is wide open too. Right now, it looks like a Texas A&M Alabama is where we're headed. But the Alabama Crimson Tide, of course, play Auburn. Now they're heavily favored. Auburn's 1-6 in the league, but it's an Iron Bowl. It's a rivalry game. You never know. Georgia is sitting there at 7-1. They get Georgia Tech this weekend, who lost last weekend to Pitt. Texas A&M plays Texas. And I know, Bake, you've been calling for that. Texas A&M, I don't think, beat Texas since 2010. It's been that long. It's in Austin is where that game is played. So that thing is wide open. The SEC, of course, trying to make sure that they get their five teams in, and it does seem relatively certain that they will. You have this crazy stuff with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, where there are people that I've talked to on both sides at Florida and at LSU who believe he's being hired there. They both believe it. Now, the athletic director at Ole Miss says he's going to tell us after the Egg Bowl.
You televise that decision, right?
In the state of Mississippi, you televise it, absolutely. Yes.
You could put it up like pay-per-view. And that decision, I'm just looking at some of the games for like Friday night. Yeah. A&M, obviously, in Texas. Indiana, Purdue, Georgia. Georgia Tech's the 3:30 Black Friday. But like that Lane Kiffin decision might do more eyeballs than Georgia Tech.
It's going to be a massive one. And there's reports of a $90 million deal from LSU that's being bandied about there. You also had Florida State basically said, yeah, we can't afford that buyout. We're going to run back Mike Norvell for one more year on that. After going, he went winless last year in the ACC. And I think this year he's got two ACC wins for a program that finished in the top four in the country for 15 years in a row. That's probably not quite the standard, as they said, at 2-6 with Florida this weekend. It's just massive chaos. I'm glad you reminded everybody, Reese, on this, because it's going to be kind of a weird week, because you're going to have the Thanksgiving holiday, of course, in the middle of it, and then you have all of the NFL that's in play too. And I know that there's obviously NFL's on Thursday, but there's also, I think, NFL on Friday too, is there not? Isn't there a Black Friday game with the NFL?
Yeah, I want to say the Eagles play.
Okay. Yeah. So like your Friday slate, the Egg Bowl's at noon Friday. I think that thing needs to be at night. It's in Starkville. So you're going to get all that comes with that. So that's your noon game there. Georgia Tech, as you mentioned. And I was unaware that Indiana Purdue moved to Black Friday too for the NBC Peacock experience there. And then Texas A&M Texas Friday night is, that's a massive game.
Yeah, it'll be Eagles-Bears, 3 o'clock on Friday, an Amazon Prime exclusive.
Okay. Yeah, so that's where you go on that. I don't recall, guys, all the years I've been doing this, I was telling my wife, this is my 19th season. This is my 19th season covering Ohio State football. I do not recall ever going into a championship weekend with this much ambiguity in every conference where nothing is clinched. There is not a single berth in a championship game that has been clinched for anybody in the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, or the SEC. Not one.
And of all of them, I think Georgia's sitting in the best spot.
Oh, dude. Would you kill to be them?
they don't have to win.
Mm-mm.
They don't really have to do anything.
Oh, they're rooting for A&M and they're rooting for Bama.
Yeah.
They're going to sit there. They're going to go to 11-1 with as talented a roster as anybody. Yeah, they're going to beat Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech got punched in the mouth this past weekend by Pitt. So they're going to beat Georgia Tech. They're going to sit there at 11-1. They're going to let Bama and A&M play for whatever. Heck, if there's a little bit of chaos, they could go all the way to a 4 and get a bye. But even if they don't, they're going to be the 5, which means they're going to host North Texas or James Madison or somebody like that in Athens, and then they'll play into the 4 seed.
I would think Georgia probably does end up as a 4 if they don't play in the SEC championship.
I think it's in play very much.
The only team I could see getting that.
Yeah, they're huge Texas A&M and Alabama fans this week.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that one is wide open. The Big 12, I mean, it would be pretty shocking if Texas Tech doesn't handle its business. But that will be one. Their game is at noon. It's the same time as ours. The other games in terms of you need to pay attention to, Oregon winning in Seattle clinches them a playoff spot, in my estimation. That was a good game. USA hung, and Oregon pulled away a little bit late.
Can Oregon lose that game and still get a playoff spot?
I think so.
They can, especially after beating USC like they did this past week. I think they're pretty much in.
I agree. I think that they're probably, you know, with a loss, they're playing a road game. With a win, they're at home in the playoff is probably the way that one shakes out for them. Oklahoma's in a similar spot where they're hosting LSU. So there's a lot going on there. You're going to hear a lot about Vanderbilt as the week goes along, trying to rally in. So this is going to be a wild final weekend of the college football schedule. Of course, nothing bigger than the game in Ann Arbor. Speaking of that game, our final Buckeye Blitz before the Buckeye Blitz on the game coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Drop what you're doing unless you're doing nothing, then keep doing that. It's Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Go Bucks, beat Michigan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. The 121st edition of The Game is Saturday in Ann Arbor. Number one, Ohio State's a 9.5-point favorite, but the 18th-ranked Wolverines have won the last 4 in the series. Ohio State's Ryan Day will join Buckeye Roundtable tonight around 6:30. You can hear Coach Day over on The Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial, as we'll have Blue Jackets hockey on The Fan Monday night. Jackets are in Washington to take on the Capitals. A 7 p.m. face-off means 6:30 pregame coverage. CBJ are back at Nationwide Wednesday against the Maple Leafs. In the NFL tonight, the 49ers host the Panthers at 8:15. An NFL tripleheader on Thanksgiving has Joe Burrow and the Bengals playing at the Ravens. And ESPN says the Ohio High School Athletic Association has voted to allow name, image, and likeness at the high school level. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Mark Levy's office at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP. That's 1-800-MORE-SLEEP, or visit him online at sleepbettercolumbus.com.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Reaction Monday edition of the program. We moved it up an hour. We got Bill Bender coming up at 11. Time to blitz the Buckeyes. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present Buckeye Blitz.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers. Visit toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, we do this well. What do we do well, Bake?
Run the football. And I know not everybody thought that was the case all year long. But the Buckeye run game, if there was anything that needed to be ironed out, it seems like they've done that the past couple of weeks. Now, the test this week will definitely be different when it comes to that. But Ohio State has been doing a really good job of running the football with those young running backs.
Ohio State does almost as good, if not better than anybody, at acquiring talent is Ohio State's bread and butter. You can be without Jeremiah Smith. You can be without Carnell Tate. You're still winning football games against FBS opponents 42-9. Right?
We play defense.
And I think the defense is as good as we've seen around here. And I did not have that coming with everybody that was lost off of last year. But there were young guys up front who were chomping at the bit to be able to go. These linebackers who Threes has curated are the best pair of linebackers in the country. The guys behind him are really good, too. Caleb Downs on the back end. The corners, it's a total complete defense. And Matt Patricia's a wizard. And he puts them in position every single week to just suffocate people. And there's just nothing there for you to do. Historically, the way that this is set up, if the next 2 weeks they continue on this path, this is going to be one of the best defenses in the history of college football. I mean, that's kind of on the track that they're on right now. Won't beat Michigan if we continue to do what, Bake?
Gimmicks. And I think there's a difference between gimmicks and trick plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think some of the stuff that they're trying to do here recently, maybe they're just throwing it on film to make Michigan think about it.
I honestly was wondering about that too. Like, are they just throwing a bunch of stuff on film to say, oh, we got a Lincoln Keenholz package and we're going to hand it to tight ends inside the five. Like, I don't know.
And maybe it is. Maybe it's a setup. Maybe they're going to put Lincoln in there this week and Michigan's going to sell out for the run and he's going to throw one over the top to someone. Who knows? But you're better than everyone else. Just go beat them. I don't think we need the gimmicky stuff.
I don't think you'll beat, or you'll certainly have a tough time against Michigan if you're soft on the line of scrimmage. I thought Ohio State's offense against the worst run defense in the country too many times had Scarlet Knights in the backfield as the handoff was being exchanged. Like, there was a little too much concern, I think. And it wasn't until the third quarter where I thought Ohio State offensively on the line of scrimmage had their best drive of the game. The third quarter against Rutgers, that's got to get better for Saturday.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I think is, there's a million layers to this Michigan game this week, but one of the things that I think that they can't do is not get points when they go in the red zone. I think against this defense, teams are going to have a very difficult time scoring, including a freshman quarterback in Underwood on Saturday. So every time you're in the red zone, acquire points of some sort. Fielding has proven to be reliable. You've proven to be unreliable in the short red zone, whether it's a fumble or getting stuffed. Just kick the thing in and take the 3 points and keep accumulating those points and you'll be fine. You should be fine in Ann Arbor on Saturday. I'd like to see more of what, Bake? What would you like to see more of?
Devin Sanchez, and I think maybe we might. I hope Lorenzo Styles is okay. That didn't look great on that injury. But I just feel this Ohio State defense is as good as it is. Their ceiling to be where they want to is with Jermaine Matthews inside at that slot position, that nickel corner, and Devin Sanchez on the outside with Davison Igbinosin.
I would like to see more Ohio State games on other networks. I hate Fox. I'm so done with this presentation that Fox's Big Noon Kick provides, from a pregame to an in-game to a post-game standpoint. To hell, Fox Sports.
It is so many commercials, especially early in the game. They get them in a big, big way. I would like to see some of the young wide receivers. I was stunned at what happened at the wide receiver position Saturday. And if Carlyle Tate's not going to play this weekend, all indications are that, to me, it feels like Jeremiah is, and that this is pretty precautionary for him, barring some sort of crazy setback. But I don't know what's going on with 17. So I was surprised that some of those other guys didn't get some reps this weekend, whether it was disciplinary or not. I just thought it was an odd approach at the wide receiver position this week. Coach, you earned his courtesy car. Who do you got, Bake?
To me, it's Coach Locke. They've got 4 running backs right now that I believe they can rely on. C.J. Donaldson, who was your 1B most of the season. Now, he may have a little lingering, nagging things here going on, but he's been your 1B most of the season. He's been your number 4 the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Larry Johnson. Carlos Lachlan's been getting it from me for a couple of weeks now, but the defensive line, Caden Curry on senior day, like, have a ball, bud.
Yeah, he did. He had a heck of a time. I'm going to go with Patricia here. I think it's been... I don't know if anybody saw this coming. Like, his love of coaching college football is obvious. His love of players is obvious. And then he's a mad scientist. And it's this combination of the some of the most intelligent defensive players in the country and a defensive coordinator who is fully enabling them. I can't wait to see what they cook up for Bryce Underwood this week.
Seeing him in some of those videos that were posted with Sonny Styles and Arvell and just the bond that he has built with these guys in just 1 year is pretty incredible.
Well, Reese, you and I were there at the very first practice. And do you remember his family coming in to watch the practice? They, you know, there was like they were on the outside. It's like, well, that's Patricia's family. Let's get him in. And they came in, and I was like, oh, this there's something collegial he likes about this.
Yeah, it's, it was just different. From him, it's been different all season, and it's been great.
It has. Game balls offense. Who do you got, Vic?
To me, it's James Peoples. And I know he only had three carries in that game, but he broke that long touchdown run. Something seems to have clicked with number 20 the last few weeks. Early on in the year, you saw a lot of East and West, and I get it because that jump cut he has is elite. Mm-hmm. But East and West, it works in high school. It doesn't work at the next level, and he has kind of changed to go more north and south the past couple of weeks, and you can really tell in his running style he's been much more effective.
Would James Peoples be getting your game ball because he helped hit the minus 32.5?
I mean, I do appreciate that.
Max clears it for me. His 105 yards receiving was the first 100-yard receiving game for an Ohio State tight end since Jeff Heirmann had 116 yards against Purdue back in 2013.
Yeah, you could go. I mean, I wrote Claire down, too. That you could go Peoples, you could go Bo Jackson. I'm going to go Julian here, though, because the last couple of weeks, I'm not sure any of this was in the brochure. And if you, I would have told you that on senior day that was going to be the wide receiver situation, you would have probably said you're nuts. What happened to everybody? And none of us really know what happened to all of them. But I thought he appointed himself well. He didn't put the ball in harm's way, made throws when he needed to, and obviously trusted Max Clair absolutely. Game balls on defense. Who do you got, Bake?
Caden Curry. I've been impressed with him all year. He was really good at the beginning of the year. There might have been a little lull there in the middle, but the past few weeks, boy, has he ramped it up as we head towards rivalry week.
I wonder why they didn't challenge or review the fumble recovery. It did feel like he got some of that into the end zone, or at least some of that ball, maybe his elbow.
Do you think it was just like because it was on the one-inch line?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
They almost didn't punch it in.
I know. I thought it was a score, though. I'm going to go Caleb Downs here. I so appreciate watching him play football. And he gave kind of a wave to the crowd. You know, I mean, that's it. He's, you know, he's going to be Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed, that type of thing. So that's the way it's going to go. But I just think, like, that was one of those getting him in the portal and what he's done. He's got a chance over the next month to leave a massive legacy here. And massive legacy at defensive back here is a big one when you think of the guys who have played here, going all the way back to Tatum, to Doss. There's just been so many great ones through the years on the back end of that defense.
He is Big Ten safety savant.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's a cheat code. Big Ten threat level, who do you got?
Big. Michigan, the only team that matters right now. Michigan.
Yep.
Yeah, they're getting better, too. They had a bunch of close games. You know, they kind of got by against Purdue, got by against Northwestern, got by against Nebraska. They buried Maryland this weekend. Underwood's getting better and better as the weeks go along. Obviously, they don't have Haynes in the backfield, but they got an Ohio native at running back, so we know the history of all of those things. So, yeah, they're the ones, and handle your business in Ann Arbor, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Nationally, who has your attention, Vic?
Michigan. That's it. The only team that matters.
Yeah, there's no other. There's nothing else. Nothing else matters in the more than the Michigan Wolverines.
No. I do think I'm going to give some love to the beloved Ponies who are sitting there at 8-3. They had Louisville at home this weekend. Kevin Jennings, the quarterback who was there last year, he went 29-37 for 303 and three touchdowns. I know a lot of people think that Miami is the biggest, you know, kind of could be the most consequential ACC team. It might be SMU. They might be the one. They got a lot of talent, returning quarterback, and they're in a position now where theoretically they could get into the tournament for back-to-back years.
That conference, and I'm not picking on your Ponies here, that conference deserves no one in this college football playoff.
I think that's fair.
No one.
Yeah.
But if you're going to put one in, make it SMU. It'll only be the conference champion.
Yeah. That's it. It's the only one that's going to get in. Can this team win it all? Grade.
You're damn right they can.
Still an A+.
I'm going to go A. And not an A+. I don't know what the hell's going on at wide receiver. And until I get to Saturday and I see who's out there, because I don't know if you can beat everybody in the country just playing great defense. So we need to get these wide receivers back going a little bit, and hopefully that happens this weekend. Take a small break from the Buckeye chatter, but by God, we had history made in Las Vegas last night. Shedeur Sanders became the first Browns quarterback to win his debut since, you're not going to believe when, but it was Myles Garrett who served the biggest attention. We'll get to all of it coming up next. Bishop and Fred's right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. Just freak the hell out of someone. The Fan.
Would you?
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Oh, this week it's Rivalry Week, or as we like to call it, Beat Michigan Week, or Try Not to Get Pepper Sprayed Week. Rivalry Week sounds better. Let's go with that.
Rivalry Week on The Fan is sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Ryan Day has proven he has what it takes to win a natty, but can he take control of the biggest rivalry in sports? Will Julian Sain or Jeremiah Smith have a Heisman moment? Will the Fan staff consume 500 wings in a single setting? Let's find out together. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly cloudy skies are expected here for your Monday with highs into the mid to upper 50s here for this afternoon. Winds fairly light at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. As we head into tonight, we are tracking more clouds and eventually some rain here after midnight, which will continue into the day on Tuesday. Highs are in the upper 50s on your Tuesday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
One, two, three. Football season is weird because we actually look forward to Mondays. It's Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan. Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reaser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Shedeur Sanders made his Browns debut on Sunday in the late window out in Las Vegas against the Raiders. He is the quarterback of record in the win. He's the first Browns quarterback to win his first career start since Eric Zier, October 30th, 1995. That is 30 years ago is the last time that a Browns quarterback won his debut. They went about it very differently. Zier threw for 310 yards and a touchdown, a 29-26 overtime win over Cincinnati. Shedeur was fine. He was more than fine in this game. I actually thought he deserved a ton of credit. Now the 66-yarder to Staley was one that, you know, that's a swing pass, but he hit it right on the screws. The throw to Bond that he made in the first half is one that we haven't seen a Browns quarterback make since Jameis Winston was there. I also thought from Shedeur's perspective, like, he didn't drift. Like, they coached that out of him in a week. Last week, playing in the second half of that game, he would drift and drift and drift and took bad sacks. There wasn't that. He didn't take bad sacks. He did have the one interception where he got baited into throwing it, but other than that, I thought the ball was out pretty quickly. I thought it was relatively accurate. It could have been even more if Jerry Jeudy actually runs hard.
If Jerry Jeudy doesn't play,
yeah,
Sanders has a better day. Because there was that, and then there was the fumble that Jeudy has on a great completion where Sanders rolls to his right,
yeah,
finds Jeudy down the field, and then Jeudy like skips.
I don't know what he's
gets doing. The ball punched out like an idiot.
I don't know if he's trying to like set up a move or something. I don't know what was going on, but I thought the kid appointed himself very, very well. And to me is worthy of seeing him start again this week. They got the 49ers at home. I'd like to see that. Let's hear from him. Here's Shedeur Sanders on stepping up in his first start.
Everybody starts different places. And like I say, just because I didn't get the summer reps, you know, just because I wasn't in the best situation, for me to be prepared to go out there and execute, like from a summer standpoint, that's how life is. You know, everybody's not in the right, not everybody's not in the best situation, you know, but it's no excuse. You got to go out there and perform. Like, there's no choice, there's no question. Nobody cares if this was 1 week of prep. Who cares? You know, so a lot of people want to see me fail, and that ain't going to happen. You know, that ain't going to happen.
Here he is on what he learned from his first start.
I learned a lot. Mentally, I feel like I'm able to understand more. I feel like I'm able to. And the thing was, I was always great at understanding perspectives and stuff, because you got to really take a deep dive at how we grew up. Like, when we grew up, my dad had us in a 30,000 square foot home. Then after that, he took us to go play ball in the inner city. You know, after that, we transferred and he moved us across town because he wanted us to get that dog in us, you know, to have that mentality, to have that it factor in us. So then we went to charter schools. And I don't know if you're familiar with charter schools, and like, you know, it's not the best, but you know, you got a lot of different people from different situations that you gotta be able to adapt to. So that's where all those core different things of being able to relate, being able to understand. But now, since I went through everything the past 6 months, it led me to a whole different understanding, you know, and it led me in my own experience with God, with having faith, you know, when nobody else can help you in your situation, you know, but God, you know. So that's why I'm truly thankful and I'm truly happy. And I this is the first time I've never had stress, you know. I did the work. I did everything I can in my power I was able to do. So the rest was left up to him.
Now, Stefanski was noncommittal postgame about if Shadur would start this weekend at home against the 49ers. That's pretty typical for him. I really can't imagine a scenario how you don't start him Sunday.
Yeah, there's not one. I mean, they'll have Dylan Gabriel probably out of concussion protocol, but there's plenty enough. There's plenty that was done Sunday to make it an easy decision. And they'll announce it today. I don't think anybody in their right mind expects it to be Dylan Gabriel, but I don't think anybody in their right mind expected Stefanski to say anything else.
Yeah,
we'll have to evaluate. You know, Shadur, 11 of 20, one touchdown, one interception.
Mm-hmm.
That'll help. Or that'll get it. That'll do it in, you know, most games against a 2-8 football team. I had people that were asking me on social media Sunday, like, why isn't Channel 10 playing this game? Like, they're 2-8 football teams.
Yeah. I don't know if there was once they got word if Sanders was going to start, if they tried to switch it. When I was at Channel 10, it was always brutal. And the rule of thumb was, if they're similar, go Browns. And maybe they just felt like the combination of Vrabel and all of that, but I don't even know if it's even that. We used to have a sales guy would come down and say, which one should we show? And that's the way that it used to go there. I don't know if it's still that way or not. I'll ask Dami. I'm not sure if that's the way that it was. But certainly he's done enough. Bake, what did you make of his first time out?
So I tempered all of it with a grain of salt, right? Because it's the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raiders are not a great team. And they obviously fired Chip Kelly this morning, which that had nothing to do with Shadur and the, you know, their defense. But the Chip Kelly is gone from there. And I would guess more people are going to be gone from there. Max Crosby's a beast, though.
He is. Yeah.
He's ridiculous. There was some really good. And there was some bad, and I think that's what you expected with a guy making his first start as a rookie. He was way better than the previous week when he came in and played the second half. That is for sure. The three longest completions that the Browns have had all season were yesterday, 66, 52, and 39.
He throws it down the field.
Yeah,
which is something they haven't done.
The arm talent is definitely there.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with all of this, and I understand, and I'm a guy who liked Dylan Gabriel, and I think Dylan Gabriel's probably going to be in the NFL for a long time as somebody's backup quarterback or a multiple team's backup quarterback. Dylan Gabriel's limitations, you can't change.
No.
The being short and the arm strength that's not up to par with some NFL quarterbacks and whatnot, Dylan Gabriel's limitations are not going anywhere. They are what they are. Shadur's limitations, I believe, can at least be coached or worked on. And he seems like a kid who is willing to take coaching. And he's seems like a kid that's willing to put the work in. So the ceiling and the upside, and I think we all knew this all along, is obviously there with Shador.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you don't play him moving forward.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, I coined it a lot. He's a lottery ticket. He's a fifth-round lottery ticket. If you hit, it's winning the lottery. You don't have to address quarterback. So he has that talent in him. That's why coming out of the combine, everybody still had him as the number two quarterback. It wasn't until all the meetings happened that that started to shift, but evaluators had him going no worse than 35th overall in terms of overall talent on the board. One thing that has got to be discussed is Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett has 18 sacks on the season. We've played 11 games. He has 18 sacks. That's the most in NFL history through 11 games. Keep in mind, his team has three wins. That means that he's spending most games, teams running the ball in the second half. He's not pinning his ears back going to get the quarterback, and he has 18 sacks. Guys, in his last five games, an NFL record, 14 sacks in five games. No one's done this before. He's going to annihilate the sack record, and I think he's going to do it in 16 games. I don't think he's going to need the 17th. I think he's going to get it in 16. I'm actually a little surprised they didn't have him in at the end when Vegas was still throwing. I thought, good Lord, he could sack Geno two more times here in this last drive. If you want to, he could easily have gotten two more sacks in that game.
Something else about Miles real quick. After Shador, I believe it was, he made the throw where he was rolling to his right and threw it downfield, and you see Miles on the sideline.
Yeah,
with that. With that look on his face, and they always say you can't fool the players.
Yeah.
The players understand, like, that's another reason I think you go with Shador, because the players know if Dylan Gabriel's in, that play is not happening.
No, he's probably not looking there. And there's been plenty of stuff in the 22 that shows that Isaiah Bond specifically does get deep and is not rewarded because the ball isn't thrown. Now, that might have been what Dylan was coached. Get out of your hands quick. Don't turn it over. That could have been it. Who knows? Shador throws it down the field. You're no longer playing offense entirely in the red zone, which is something they'd been doing for much of the season. So we'll see. I think Kevin talks up there today, so maybe get a little bit of a better answer on that as it goes along. You mentioned former offensive coordinator here, Chip Kelly, shown his walking papers. Could he potentially return here during this run? Plus, the light's about out in Cincinnati for the Bengals. We'll get to all of that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Bake mentioned that in the previous segment. The Las Vegas Raiders gave Chip Kelly $6 million a year to be the offensive coordinator of the Vegas Raiders. He lasted 11 games. He was fired after this one. Everybody knew that the offensive line was a massive problem in Las Vegas when he took the job. What happened yesterday was malfeasance. I mean, they just had no chance. Geno Smith had no chance. They really couldn't get anything going at all. It was coming on the heels of a game in which they threw it 50 times in a loss last time out. And so Vegas is 30th in total offense in the league. They're in the near the bottom for most offensive metrics. They have nobody at wide receiver at all. There's nothing to be scared of at all there. Chip did give a statement to Jay Glazer. I'm grateful for the opportunity with the Raiders. Bottom line in this league is you have to win. I really love those players. I'm a huge, huge Geno Smith fan, and that was one of the best parts of this experience for me, working with Geno and those guys every day. But hey, gotta win. I get it. Do you think he'll be back here as an analyst for the playoff?
Yeah, I could see him just coming in, providing advice.
I mean,
I don't think it was, you know, lost on anybody how he did as offensive coordinator Ohio State last year.
Yeah.
Certainly one of the things that got him the gig in Las Vegas. And mm-hmm. He's not the issue with the Raiders, but I understand a head's got a role. Like, I wonder if Pete Carroll comes back. You know, they gave him a gigantic chunk of money. Same bozo that gave Geno Smith a gigantic chunk of money. But
my theory on them is that they were in a board. I think that's why they drafted Genty too. I think they were in a panic of, we've been in Vegas for a while. We don't really have any foothold in our own city. We have got to win some games. And they just hadn't. And they thought with Pete and Geno, maybe that they could win some games, but they really, there's nothing to fear on the outside at all. So I think it's in play for Chip.
I don't think I'd be surprised, but yeah. I don't think so. Now, could he be the next offensive coordinator at Ohio State? Maybe.
Take it
You're
back.
Saying like yeah. if Brian leaves?
Yeah. Somebody, once Brian gets a head coaching job, maybe Chip's back here next year running the offense.
By the way, did you see Saban railed on the calendar on game day this weekend, like we've been talking about for the longest time? Like, it's not Lane's fault. And Tom Brennivan went at him a little bit in his broadcast. He was doing like a FAU game in
Winnetkippin. Yeah, on the CW network.
Yeah, I saw him already apologize for it this morning. But I think there's a lot of people that don't understand. There's a lot of people who aren't fully aware of what is happening, of where the sport is at the moment. They just don't have a clue. I had a buddy of mine who went to Vanderbilt who was like going, I don't understand how James Madison or Tulane's in the playoff and we're not, like in the projections. And I'm like, well, who wants to tell them that one of the group of fives get in? Like, that's why they're there. Otherwise, Vandy would be there. Somebody's got to be represented there. So I think that the sport is in such a confusing place that sometimes there's misdirection.
I think Thom should try to avoid saying things he needs to apologize for. It hasn't worked well for him in the past.
No.
He should quit.
In his apology, he acknowledged that it hasn't worked well for him in the past. But I think if you're Marty's kid and you host daily radio in Cincinnati and can kind of say whatever you want, like, it's probably hard to all of a sudden have a filter. It's kind of all you've ever done is say whatever you want. Who's going to have more wins by the time this season's over, the Bengals or the Browns?
Probably the Bengals. I think if Joe Burrow does come back Thursday, they get a little bit of juice. And I'm not going to say they're going to beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
But I think if Burrow is able to stay healthy for the rest of the season, you get Ja'Marr Chase back. I have no idea what's going to go with T. Higgins. But
yeah, right.
I think there's a chance they get a couple and they play the Browns for the last game of the season. That could be the one where both just lose out until that one and winner gets the better record.
I'm going to say the Bengals just because I think they've got the easier schedule, especially those last three games.
Look at their next three, though.
I know, but the Browns have those kind of games all the way except for the Titans and the Bengals.
Yeah, who do the Browns have left? They've got the Bills, the Niners. Niners this weekend. I know they still have to play the Bills.
So they've got the Niners, then the Titans. They're at the Bears, the Bills, the Steelers, at the Bengals.
And the Bengals go Ravens, Bills, Ravens next three. So,
which is pretty brutal.
Very brutal.
Then I think they get Arizona, Miami, and Cleveland.
Right. They're at 9-8, now I think you're cooked at this point. So you're just kind of playing out the string. It's probably too late. It definitely is too late, but the defense did play relatively well, and that's the standard for this team. The quarterback throws for 300 yards, and they score 26 points, and somehow that's some sort of a victory. Here's Zach Taylor on the defensive performance.
They fought like crazy. I mean, they fought a different ways. They didn't allow things to be easy for New England. Can't find them in the goal line stands, I think, represent who these guys are right now. Just keep coming back. Got a penalty, first and goal on the one, kept fighting. Got to stop. And there's a lot of trust, you know, when they keep playing that way. You know, I'd factor in the fourth and one. You know, we didn't go for fourth and one kind of in our own field position. I think we're on the minus 40 and felt like we could pin them down in there and get a stop and get the ball back right where we just kicked it from. And so, again, I thought those guys fought for us, got a turnover, a pick six, gave us some momentum early in the game. And just keep believing in those guys. They're going to keep fighting for us and finding a way.
Yeah, they did play pretty well. I mean, one of the Patriots' touchdowns came on a pick six from Flacco. And I think the one thing you're seeing with Joe is Joe Flacco's like a 2-3 game, and then he gets a little noodle army. And you saw that in the game yesterday where the pick six is brutal and it really undercut them. They had to have it, guys. I mean, if they want to have some delusions of going 10-7 and making the postseason, they had to have it. Now, you could say, well, they shouldn't have lost the Jets. They shouldn't have lost the Bears. Yes, for sure. But now they're at a point where the season is cooked, and there's no scenario really where they can find their way back out of it.
The NFL just we talk about it every weekend. You just do not know what you're getting. Uh-uh. And we're going to blitz the NFL this week, and I have no clue who my three teams are going to be, my top three, and I have no clue what my Super Bowl matchup is going to be because, I mean, Detroit gets everything they can handle and goes to overtime with the New York Giants.
At home.
Philly gives up a 21-point lead and loses to Dallas. The Indy is beating the Chiefs, and they come back and win the game somehow. Houston beats Buffalo Thursday night. The Bengals give the Patriots all they can handle. Like, the NFL was nuts yesterday.
There is one team that I know, Bo, you've been talking about for a while that looks every bit the part of Super Bowl contender, and that's the LA Rams. So they're going to be number one and probably should be in any legitimate power rankings you've got.
I'm not sure the exact amount of games, but Stafford is 25 touchdowns, no picks in like his last seven games in this winning streak that they're under. They don't really have any holes. They don't. They play great defense. They can run it. They can throw it. It's going to be pretty cool because I everything that I've heard, I've talked to Bob about this and others who have played with Stafford, that he's like the best dude ever. I mean, I think he's going to win MVP.
He should.
Yeah. I think if he can stay healthy and they keep winning, he's going to win MVP.
Now, they've got a huge, massive test coming in their next game at the Carolina Panthers.
Well, you don't roll into downtown Charlotte and get a win, I'll tell you that. Unless you're bringing Eric Dickerson.
Tell you what.
Merlin Olsen, Deacon Jones.
I'm not walking through the door.
Jack Youngblood, James Laurinaitis, Aaron Donald. I'd bring all the Rams legends with you in their prime. That's the only chance you have to beat that juggernaut that is Carolina.
I will say this about Kansas City. I think that was obviously a huge win for them. I saw some stat the other day. They call it DOVA that some of these NFL guys look at. And they said, according to DOVA, Kansas City was the fourth best team ever in NFL history that started 5-5.
Okay.
And they said two of those teams ahead of them finished the year 10-6, which I would think that would put them at 11-6, 10-7. That would put them in the playoffs. They've got the Cowboys, the Texans, the Chargers, the Titans, the Broncos, and the Raiders the rest of the way. So that schedule is pretty favorable for Kansas City.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we might see a Chiefs run here down the stretch that might give them some momentum into the playoffs. But, man, good luck picking, you know, who's going to be there this year.
By the way, we got a Thanksgiving game of consequence. It's Cowboys-Chiefs. I mean, that might break every record viewing. It's the late one. I mean, that thing's going to be a monster. Pretty sure it's on Channel 10. That thing is going to be an absolute monster on Thursday. By the way, at 1-5, I said Baltimore is going to win the AFC North. And guess who's atop the AFC North? Baltimore Ravens, 6-5. Tied with Pittsburgh now, atop the AFC North. It's all there for them. They might end up being the team out of the AFC when all's said and done. They were a little sluggish over the weekend as well. Weird weekend in the NFL. We'll hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable.
The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Progressive.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And laugh with the Bob and Tom Show on The Fan 2.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
It says here they've won 5 Marconi Awards. I can't even spell Marconi. The Fan 2. Columbus's home of the Bob and Tom Show.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Reaction Monday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not.
not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
After the Oregon Ducks smashed USC over the weekend, Dan Lanning went to bat for his team in the college football playoff.
Well, we just played a really good team. We beat them. And a lot of times we play really good teams that become unranked all of a sudden. That's not our fault, right? Maybe it is our fault. But all we're worried about is playing the teams that we play and doing the job that we need to do. And we did that job today, right? I think proof's in the pudding, right? Played a good team. We beat them, right? All we can do next week is try to do the same thing, right? And this conference is a really good conference. It's competitive, right? We didn't play Chattanooga State today, right? Like some other places, right? We competed. So, you know, that being said, it's tough playing 9 conference games. It's tough playing in this league. And we got to take advantage of playing a good team today and attacking that.
Thing or not a thing.
So this is a lot of this stuff is it's political stuff, right? Conference politics. All that this is, and I have to explain this all the time, the SEC just plays their cupcakes before the rival. So instead of playing Grambling in week 3, they play Grambling in week 10 or 11. That's it. That's all it is. And I'd have to look at Oregon's schedule to see if Lanning had a stretch like the stretch that we've been dealing with around here. I don't know if they have a stretch where they were 30-point favorites every single time out the way Ohio State was for the entire month of November. His schedule in November is pretty robust, especially when you consider the travel part of it. They went at Iowa, then Minnesota, USC, at Washington. So that's pretty tough. He also had to play he had to play Penn State when they were number 3. He had to play Indiana at home. So their schedule was pretty difficult, let alone the fact they beat the beloved Bobcats in the opener 59-13. So they played the best the FCS has to offer as well. So he's got a point. But this is really a Big Ten versus SEC thing in terms of the way that the two conferences schedule.
Yeah, I think it's the timing, right? And we can talk all we want. Ohio State played Rutgers this week, and that's not Ohio State's fault, but the very bottom of the Big Ten has been really bad recently, and this year especially. And so, to Dan Lanning's point, you know, it's not his fault Penn State didn't live up to their end of the bargain. If Oregon played Montana State this past weekend, it would be the same kind of thing. They played them at the beginning. I mean, I don't know. We can all talk about it. We can all talk about the schedules and whatnot. Just go out there and prove your point on the field. And that's what Oregon did this week.
They did.
They took care of a USC team that had been climbing in the polls, that had been playing really well, and they honestly beat them pretty handily. That's what's the thing here, is Oregon got themselves another really nice data point on the resume.
Yeah, every time USC would get it to a score, Oregon would go right back up two. Like every time they got close, they responded. And the fact that they're doing so really without any of their wide receivers, like, put some little bit of respect on their name, because that is a squad that is that's got a lot of talent. They really do. And if those receivers can get healthy, they're going to be a problem in this playoff.
And USC could not stop them at all. The only thing that stopped Oregon in that game was Oregon and mistakes and penalties. Mm-hmm. USC had no shot of stopping that Oregon offense.
None. No.
On Sunday, Florida State announced head coach Mike Norvell will return for a 7th season in Tallahassee. Questions about his job security reached a boiling point after a really bad 21-11 loss to NC State on Friday that dropped FSU to 5-6. The Noles need a win at Florida Saturday to reach bowl eligibility. University President Richard McCullough, AD Michael Alford, and Board of Trustees Chair Peter Collins said they were in, quote, complete agreement that changes are needed for our program to improve, end quote. Adding, quote, Coach Norvell embraces our support in that process and agrees that success must be achieved. He continues to demonstrate an unwavering belief in this program's future, and so do we, end quote. ESPN's reporting says more resources will be placed into recruiting and the roster. Changes will be made to the personnel department to allow Norvell the best chance to succeed. Had FSU moved on from Mike Norvell, the school would have had to pay him about $54 million in buyout money, about $76 million if you include the staff. Thing or not a thing.
And there's the real truth at the end. So you can tell me all you want about how they're in complete agreement and he embraces the support I covered Florida State for six football seasons. They don't have these resources. Period. When they gave him that contract because they were fearful. You know why they gave him it? Because Alabama was sniffing around Mike Norvell. They ended up going with DeBoer after Lanning said no, but it was Norvell who was on the list. And then FSU's, oh my God, we got to pay him. So they paid him. They can't write that check, let alone the check it would take to hire the next guy. So they're stuck. They're stuck. I don't know what happens to programs like this and Clemson over the next 5 to 10 years. I really don't. Not without equal television revenue. So this is kind of, I think, what their future. I mean, the Florida State Florida game is like 5-6 versus 3-8. There was a time that that was the game of the year in college football in the mid 90s was FSU Florida. Winner played for the national title. Hell, they played each other for a national title in 96.
So I saw somebody, I think it was On Three. I just saw this a little bit ago on the Twitter machine, did an article about this. And it said Florida State really isn't saving $62 million with keeping Mike Norvell. And I believe they were talking about, and I want to go back and read this article, but I believe just from the headlines and what it looked like, the little bit I glanced is they were saying that this is actually going to cost Florida State more in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
With them being a losing program and a program of irrelevance. Mike Norvell is, this is his sixth season at Florida State already. He's 76-48. He's only had two winning seasons.
Yeah.
And now one of them was a really good season, obviously, yep. And they lose their quarterback and they get kicked out of the, they don't make it into the college football playoff.
Yep.
And who knows what would have happened that year. Obviously, they got smoked by Georgia. After right. that, who knows what would have happened in a college football playoff for them. But I don't know if Mike Norvell's any good.
No.
And I think it's been proven if your coach isn't any good, you've got to pay the money to get rid of him and get somebody else in there. It's going to cost you even more.
They don't have it. They don't have the 54. They're strapped. They just did a stadium renovation down there. You're going to see this, man. Wait till we start having to pay for stadiums up here and renovations.
Is Florida State the first team that will get actually acquire money from the Saudis?
They would love to. I'm sure if they could. I mean, they were the first ones that floated the private equity thing.
Just real quick, one day after losing to Stanford 31-10, California fired head coach Justin Wilcox. Golden Bears were 6-5 in his 10th season. Cal just come off a top 15 win over ACC foe Louisville. Pete Thamel says analyst Nick Rolovich is expected to be the interim coach. Cal's going to host SMU next Saturday night at 8 o'clock. The Mustangs need a win to play for the ACC championship. Thing or not a thing?
I think it's weird firing him at 6-5 in their first year in the eight. Is this first or second year?
Second
in the
year
ACC
for Cal.
Them? Second. Yeah. I mean, isn't 6-5 success at Cal? I would think that it would be. You know, the other thing I think about it, this is where our guy is, right? Isn't Devin Brown here?
Mm-hmm.
He went here and he lost out to a true freshman. That kid can't catch a break.
Was it Rolovich the coach at Washington State?
He was. He was dismissed. They had some
comments around
some
COVID
stuff. Yeah.
The program's handling of the pandemic, I think, was his reason for his dismissal.
Yeah.
This is not a thing at all because it's Cal football. And the only two times I've ever remembered Cal football being relevant in my life is when they had Aaron Rodgers and when they had Jared Goff. And that's it.
What about Marshawn Lynch driving a golf cart around?
Unless they get a big time quarterback in there. And who knows? Maybe this freshman could end up being that at some point.
Yeah.
Cal football is just nothing in there in the ACC, which is still the most ridiculous thing.
They had a run there with Tedford in the 2000s with DeSean Jackson and some of those guys where they were a decent program. But yeah, it's uphill sledding for sure. Bill Benberg coming up at the top of the hour on Ohio State and Michigan. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
It's rivalry week, and dare I say the most rivalist one ever. Me Talk Pretty.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
All month long at
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Number one, Ohio State's got one more game in the regular season, and it's the biggest one. The game, Ohio State, Michigan, Saturday in Ann Arbor for the 121st time in history. Wolverines have won the last four in the series. OSU's Ryan Day is going to join Buckeye Roundtable tonight at 6:30. He'll hold his weekly press conference tomorrow at noon, but the Ryan Day radio show will be Wednesday at noon this week. In the NFL tonight, week 12 wraps up in San Francisco. The 49ers host the Carolina Panthers at 8:15. In college hoops, 5-0 Ohio State hosts Mount St. Mary's tomorrow night at 6:30. You can hear that game on The Fan Tuesday at 5:30. The Ohio State women's squad's in the Bahamas for the Pink Flamingo Championship Tournament. Buckeyes play Belmont right now. You can hear that game over on The Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial. And the Blue Jackets wrap up a four-game road trip Monday in Washington against the Capitals. Jet Greaves looks to get the nod in net. Face-offs at 7 o'clock. You can hear Blue Jackets hockey tonight on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Putting up with Tom Tiberi for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
We talk about this in July, and we talk about it in August, and the reality of it is, for us, when you do this job, you blink, and it's Michigan week. I don't know how it happens. I think it's the routine of it all, and you just go through it, and the game stack, and all of a sudden you find out that it's upon you, and it's Thanksgiving, and it's Michigan week, and it's all kind of jammed in here. And really, over the last decade, these have been the best games in college football the majority of the time. There's been a lot of number one versus number twos. There's been a lot of two teams in the top five. Like, all of these things have stacked year after year after year, and so we're kind of accustomed to it now after a stretch before that that maybe wasn't quite so good, but it's been a very good rivalry over the last decade, one that the Wolverines obviously have been in control of the last four times out. So for some national perspective on this, we turn to our good buddy Bill Bender of the Sporting News. He joins on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Ryan Day's in one of the most odd spots you'll be in college football, and it's really a spot you in history you couldn't be in. And that is, he has the model program in all of college football. He's the reigning national champion, going for back-to-back national titles, and it kind of feels around here his whole season comes down to Saturday.
Yeah, well, I mean, he has a higher winning percentage than Newt Rockne.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad, but as I try to tell my editors and everybody I work with at Sporting News, the number we remember in Columbus and they remember in Ann Arbor is, what's your record against Michigan? You know, everybody knows 7-0 who we're talking about, 9-1. I honestly don't know Woody's record. I probably should, which is terrible to come on here. But Woody and Bo, you know the record in the 10-year war and all those things. So that's part of the legacy. But in this new world, I think it's different now. And that's what I'm still struggling to accept, that, you know, I mean, you can still lose that game and win a national championship. But I'll say this, Bo, the focus, you could tell. I mean, he came out right after the Rutgers game, and they didn't waste any time asking about it. And he didn't waste any time answering it. It seems like they're ready to go.
I think what you, and this is why I wanted to have you on today, because I think what your experience is as a national college football columnist at the Sporting News, juxtaposed to a man who lives in Central Ohio, because you're right. It's not a must win nationally. It's not. Ohio State's going to be, I mean, the heck, they could still play in the Big Ten championship. We just lived this last year. The ultimate goal is to win a national title. They can do it. But you know that around here, it's different. And I think that's the kind of the pull and tug that's being done on the sport at the moment, in that this is a crazy weekend across the sport. None more crazy than here. Everything's still at stake in all the conferences. You can still chase those national titles. But it still does matter here and up there who wins this game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if I would have, you know, back in high school or whatever, said, okay, listen, Ohio State's going to lose to Michigan but win a national title, you said that's not possible. How do you compute that? Even though it did happen with Florida and Florida State in the BCS era. My take would be, I've struggled with that reality because I'm one of those kind of traditionalists that likes the old ways, that likes that rivalry game matters more than anything else. And I think some of that's a product of when you grow up in Ohio, you play some high school rivalries. You know, you may not have won a state championship, but you won against your rival. You know, I know my buddies and I, we still talk about some high school games we won. We didn't win a state title, though.
No, yeah. No, but you win those rival games and it still matters. What do you make of this Michigan team this season, Bill? They come into this one at just two losses and still in play to get to a Big Ten championship game with a win.
Yeah, you know, I think the key for Michigan in this game is really going to be Bryce Underwood. You know, you look at the losses, the USC loss and the Oklahoma loss, and the offense was kind of ordinary, especially in the passing game. He had a 50% completion percentage in those two games. The running game, you know, without a Justice Haynes, they're down to their third running back. We'll see if Jordan Marshall plays. The defense isn't quite what it was last year. I've watched enough of them to know that, like, they don't have Graham and Grant in the middle. They're good on that side of the ball. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're not, but it's a little bit different. And then the X factor to me, and I haven't looked at it, I should, weather. You know, what does the weather have in store up there in Ann Arbor? It can get goofy up there sometimes. There's no question.
See, I think it's cold and snowy is kind of what could be the, I mean, we're a few days out. So this time, this part of the country, right, that can change on the snap of a finger, but I think we're headed for pretty cold up there in the 30s on Saturday. Conversely, from the Ohio State perspective, they have played a month of November of which they have been favored by 30 or more points in three straight games. It was an odd game Saturday, wasn't it, Bill, in terms of who didn't play at wide receiver? And I'm not just talking about 17-4. I mean, at one point, Ryan was doing quarterback rotations. He randomly put Lincoln in on a second down to throw it and then put Julian in on third. What did you make of just how Ohio State got to this point over the last month?
Well, I don't know how much gamesmanship was involved for next week with that, but you know, you would anticipate with the receivers, there's going to be a lot of attention on whether Carnell or Jeremiah are on the field. The bigger key was the running game, though. You know, Bo Jackson really stepped in. He's really filled a void there. And they, in this game, that's the first stat I've always looked at. You know, the team that very rarely does the team that rushes for fewer yards win this game. So Ohio State, I'm not saying they need to run it every play, you know, or anything like that. And obviously, you want to use your receivers, but the running game is always a factor in this game. There's no question.
Yeah, it does. And I think sometimes that's a detriment in that. And I think Ryan would probably even admit that now post game that maybe we were trying to prove something or whatever. And I just hope that they play to who they are. And I think most people around here who are most obviously lean Scarlet Gray kind of hoping that too, because I think the defense has a chance to be the best defense that's ever played around here. And that's saying something, Bill.
That's the X factor for me too. It's not even an X factor. That's the factor. This Ohio State defense is the difference in this game to me. You know, if running game wins it, so does defense. And this is, they're just nasty. I said that every week, and they just seem like a team that Rutgers scores a touchdown and they're angry about it, you know. And I'm sure, you know, all of these guys are nice college athletes and nice kids and all that, but they're nasty on the field. And I think that's one thing, you know, how can Michigan consistently, you know, I don't think they can get away with what they did last year with the kind of run 3 yards and get away with six completions and win a football game. That's not going to happen. And, you know, can you force a couple mistakes out of Bryce Underwood? If they do, they'll be in good shape.
Talking to the great Bill Bender, college football columnist at the Sporting News on the national side of things. Do you recall in your years covering this sport, a championship weekend that is 2 weeks away, and in the Power Four, we don't have a single spot in any conference championship game nailed down?
No, because I've had to do all these scenario tiebreaker pieces for Sporting News, and I've saved the ACC for last because, I mean, is it too early to crack open the Eagle Rare? I don't know, because I might need it for that one. But the Big Ten's pretty straightforward, at least, right? Like, if Indiana and Ohio State win, we're done. If Texas Tech and BYU win, we're done. The most interesting thing to me that I've said out loud this morning is that I think SMU is going to win the ACC.
Me too.
And they're going to have three losses. And I don't know what that means for Miami. Probably bad, because Miami, that means Miami doesn't have a path to the ACC championship game.
Yeah, and that's going to lead them to the Miami-Notre Dame discussion.
where do you stand on that?
That's why
a long pause,
Bill. That's why I love the sport, though, right? Because it's none of it makes any damn sense. If you play head to head, that result has to matter, right? I mean, like, I know it was 3 months ago, but it has to matter. But at the same time, like, I've watched Notre Dame play the last 2 months, and I think they'd beat the brakes off of Miami right now. But that's subjective. But that's why we love this, right? Because it's all argumentative.
And what do you always tell me, Bo, that it's a TV show? That TV show has a chance to get those gold helmets in there with a 10-2 record. They're not turning it down. And not the way, especially with the way they're playing under Marcus Freeman. And I don't know what somebody from Syracuse did to Notre Dame last week, but they clearly were focused in that game.
I've never seen anything quite like that. I'll tell you, if Miami, they need just complete chaos in the SEC is probably what they need. Vanderbilt losing to Tennessee, Alabama somehow losing to Auburn, which not very likely. Like those, then Miami could find their way back in it. But I'll just say this, buddy. I don't ever recall a final weekend of the regular season stacking up quite like this one with all that's at stake.
No, I mean, you got five games with ranked teams. And the other part I don't remember having happened is Black Friday is every bit as good as Saturday.
It is.
Because you have, I mean, noon, it's like Ohio State, Michigan, that's the game. I know they got Pitt, Miami, that window too. But Friday, you've got, I mean, what is the over-under on how many times they're going to talk about Lane Kiffin's decision during the game? And then
that's
you
always
have,
been a night game too, Bill. It's weird it's at noon.
Oh, I know. And then that starts you off. And then you get Georgia Tech, which a little luster off that, which Tech losing. And then Texas A&M, which I would submit, and I've said this for years, you can't convince me, other than Ohio State, Michigan, which the list starts at two, now that they're playing again, I would almost put Texas A&M two. You won't find two fan bases that hate each other more.
No doubt.
I really believe that.
No, that is a war on a way of life. Between Texas A&M and Texas is what that one is. Going to be a fun weekend, buddy. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me on, Bo. Appreciate all you guys at 97.1. Thanks again.
Yeah, here he goes. Happy Thanksgiving to Bill and his lovely family as well, of course, on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and courtesy of our friends at the Sporting News. The OHSAA with a landmark decision. I'm not sure they had a choice. We'll get into it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Jackets hit the road for a battle with the Washington Capitals. Live fan coverage starts Monday night at 6:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan.
Hey, friends.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine here for your Monday with highs into the mid to upper 50s here before this afternoon. Winds fairly light at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Heading into tonight, we're tracking more clouds and eventually some rain arriving after midnight, which will continue into the day on Tuesday. Highs are in the upper 50s here on your Tuesday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The only thing better than watching football is talking about it. So we invented Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
It's your Uncle Bo here. Get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at El Dorado Scioto Downs, your ultimate Caesars reward destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but at over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the United States. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. Here at Scioto Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Micro Brewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the out-of-bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy just keeps on building. Scioto Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's coming right here to Columbus. So come experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments waiting for you at El Dorado Scioto Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966. Visit caesars.com/Scioto Downs for details. This from the OHSAA within the hour. OHSAA member schools pass NIL referendum proposal. The release from the OHSAA: member schools have passed an emergency bylaw referendum on name, image, and likeness, making Ohio the 45th state to allow NIL at the high school level. The voting period ended last week. The new bylaw goes into effect immediately, meaning OHSAA student athletes can now enter into agreements and be compensated for their name, image, and likeness through appearances, licensing, social media, endorsements, and or the use of branding based on their public recognition, their notoriety. The bylaw also establishes reporting procedures. I'm sorry, it's hard to read this part without laughing. The bylaw also establishes reporting procedures and limitations so that students do not jeopardize their eligibility. It relates to OHSAA recruiting and amateur bylaws. Good luck. This is a statement. And I look, there's nothing that they can do here. Like, it just, they were going to lose in a court of law anyway, so you had to do this, but save me with the idea that anyone's going to be able to police any of this. This run from Doug Ute. He's the OHSAA executive director. We'd like to thank our member schools for taking ownership of this NIL bylaw proposal. Whether our schools or individuals agree with NIL at the high school level or not, the courts have spoken on this issue across the country, and the NCAA and high school athletic associations cannot prevent a student athlete from making money on their NIL. That's true. There's nothing that you can do about it. You are always going to lose. You can't limit what somebody makes, no matter what age they are. And it shouldn't cost them eligibility. There's a can of worms the size of Lake Superior that's going to come out of this. The policing of it is going to be impossible. The reporting of it's going to be impossible. And what you're going to get is what you got in college football, which is a relatively lawless situation if you want to put guardrails on anything. But I don't know that they had a choice in the matter. Bake, you're the closest of all of us to all of this. What do you make of it?
I think it's interesting what you just said about the limitations. Well, you're going to lose in court. You can't put limits on people, so you're going to lose in court. I understand why they do this, because it says they want to make sure it's not a pay-for-play situation, but it is going to be, right? Mm-hmm. In most of these situations, most high school students, their name, image, and likeness isn't going to get them anything unless they're a big-time student that's going to Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia. And chances are those schools are going to be taking care of all that anyway. Mm-hmm. And or unless it's a big school that has a lot of money, and the ones you think of are the Catholic schools, but there are some private schools that have money and could give money to kids, or public schools. You think of automatically in Ohio, you think of like the Molars, the St. Ed's, the Hobans, you know, schools like that. You're like, well, they already recruit. They're going to do this anyway. And maybe they will. I think the most interesting thing in all of this is 247 schools declined to vote. So that tells you they don't agree with it. Yep. They would have voted no, probably, but there's nothing they can do. Just like Doug Ute said, the courts have spoken, so this was going to happen.
I wonder if, because it was the school principals who cast the vote, if at this time of the year, because principals are doing so much anyway, they're just like, oh yeah, forgot about that thing. Like, I'm doing 30 different other things. I don't really have time to vote for something that, it's not that the vote doesn't matter, but the vote didn't matter.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't think they forgot. I think they were just like, we don't agree with this, so we're not signing on.
This is going to keep guys like Darren Peterson from playing high school basketball at Huntington Prep and in California, and instead he could have played, you know, all 4 years in the state and been a Mr. Ohio basketball and led his team to a state title the way LeBron had done before. And Jerry Easter's a Toledo kid who ended up having to go to a private school in Indiana, and now he's at USC. Like, that's another one. The kid at UA who had to go, I mean, think about that. Like, that's unheard of 10 years ago. A UA kid leaving UA to go to Florida to make money on NIL and then coming back to play for the Buckeyes the next year. So it's going to eliminate a lot of that stuff. You'll be able to keep those players in-house. It is going to lead to an even bigger gap in the private versus public debate. Hoban, which, by the way, got it put on him big time this weekend at Walsh, schools like that are going to incentivize players to come, and you are going to see cash for play. It's going to happen at the Ignatius. I mean, I think about St. Ignatius, which has fallen on some hard times in Northeast Ohio from a football standpoint since Chuck Kyle, the legendary coach, retired up there, and St. Ed's has kind of jumped into their wake as the powerhouse. Well, Ignatius has got a lot of money. And if they want to start throwing it around, they can. If you think about a public school powerhouse like Massillon, which, by the way, hell of a job out of you, big nut, taking care of business over in Zanesville in that game.
How about that?
Yeah, it was awesome. But you think about the open enrollment that Massillon has and the way that they're going to be able to take full advantage of that. So, but think of the teams I just mentioned. Those are the teams that you've been hearing about forever. I mean, just, like, think of a school like Kettering Alter. Like, think about Alter. If they decide, yeah, we want to get back to winning state championships every year, a couple of alumni decide, yeah, that's important to us. So that's where this is all going to go. I think the basketball side of it is where the big money's going to be. But you know what? You're already seeing that a little bit. Think of this kid who Ohio State just signed, the five-star kid, Anthony Thompson, the kid from he's
Lebanon, down near Cincinnati. Lebanon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's up at Western Reserve in Northeast Ohio because they can compensate him. You think about Spire Institute. You remember LaMelo Ball? Now, they're not playing for OHSAA. They aren't governed by the OHSAA. But you already had institutions in the state that were doing this. And now you're just going to have it on a much, much bigger level. And I think it'll keep the talent in state rather than having it leave. And I just think you'll see an even bigger gap. You're going to have situations now where there's going to be places in this state where people care a lot about football and basketball that are going to make sure that, I mean, just think what LeBron could do at St. Vincent St. Mary if he wanted. He's worth $1 billion. If he had 10 million towards 5 million, hell, $1 million towards roster building at St. Vincent St. Mary, what he could do? I mean, that's where you're headed. Is there,
but that's not what it's going to be, Bo, right? It's going to be legitimate. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, social media work, mm-hmm. commercial. It's going to be all that kind of stuff.
If we've learned anything in college athletics, it's that none of it's policeable. It's just not.
All of the Marion local kids, who, by the way, 76 game winning streak gone this weekend, all the Marion local kids are going to be making appearances at the local Subway. It's okay. It's cool. That's all you need.
Imagine how excited the Lachey household. He's a St. Henry guy.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. The Hoings, they're St. Henry guys. Like, so for folks who don't know, Marion Local hadn't lost since, what, like 2020?
I think it was 2021, I believe.
Yeah.
And 76 straight games.
Yeah, they had won. 76 straight wins.
St. Henry put it to them.
Yeah, they did. So some of this stuff is going to stay the same. Some of it will change. I mean, I even think about a sport the boys play, not that they're in this vicinity, but like if you have a kid who plays lacrosse at Upper Arlington who signed a letter of intent to go to Cornell and some uniform supplier or stick supplier wants to throw a bunch of stuff their way as an endorsee, well, away you go. I mean, that's all what's in play now is all of that type of stuff. Baseball, all of it. It's all of that type of stuff that's now going to be out there for them. One other thing I wanted to mention here before we get to Shelley time in a couple of minutes. Bernie Kosar is being discharged today.
That's awesome.
A week ago this weekend, I wasn't sure he would get to Monday. And a tragedy up there with a 21-year-old man who had a strange terminal illness that and his family donated his liver to Bernie. Bernie found out on Sunday. By Monday morning, he was being prepped for a liver transplant and something they thought he would maybe be in the hospital for a month. He's being discharged. Like, if you miss, they did it on ESPN, did it. Find it. They did it. Jeremy Schapp went to Cleveland and did the story on just, he went from thinking, maybe I got 72 hours to live, to now he's being discharged. That's a wild thing to wrap your head around.
It was awesome, both the TV and the radio broadcasts.
Yeah.
Just all of them mentioning that and the well wishes to Bernie. Incredible tragedy for that family mm-hmm. and that young man losing his life, but incredible sacrifice by them so Bernie could remain with everyone.
Incredible. Incredible what happened there. Jackets back at it. They are in D.C. against the Caps. Looks like we have a little bit of an injury at morning skate. We'll get an update from Shelley Time on all of that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The Gloves. Shelly Time.
Sponsored by Midwest Cards. Experience collecting in a whole new way.
All right, buddy. Can you take our audience through your travels since last we talked? Last we talked, you had gotten into Toronto. You're doing the keg, and then do you even remember it all?
I don't. I'll have to look at my calendar here. It's fabulous. Where was I? Toronto. Were we in Winnipeg, then Toronto, then yeah. So we had Detroit at 1 o'clock, and then I booted home to watch my son's game in Columbus on Saturday night. Caught the end of that. And then we had a nice school event yesterday morning. And then there's a direct from Columbus to LA because the game Ottawa LA for Monday Amazon Prime is in LA. So I took the direct, nice little flight from Columbus to LA. And then I'll take the direct tomorrow morning back home for the Blue Jackets game. What a week. Toronto. This is after tonight.
Yeah.
Toronto on Wednesday. Then you enjoy your turkey, and then fire up the Friday for Pittsburgh at home. Two beautiful games, Toronto Pittsburgh this week.
I love that the NHL scheduler does. I feel like we get this a lot around the Thanksgiving holiday. It feels like we get the Wednesday Friday home games, and they're two of my favorite ones. The Wednesday, and we'll get to it on Wednesday, but I love that they do that for them. It feels like the Jackets get taken care of with that schedule a lot. So it's going to be a really fun week. It would be more fun if you go into it with a win against the Caps tonight. And I know you're out in Los Angeles, but we do have some news in DC. The Kirill Marchenko left midway through the team's morning skate in DC with an apparent injury. This according to our buddy Jess Faboda, who says Evason said he's being evaluated right now and we'll see if he can play tonight. What do you make of that?
You know, I think that there's been a lot of teams have been hit hard with the injury bug. And for the Blue Jackets, Gudbranson and Jenner have been out, two key pieces. And now this is a big one if he hits the shelf. I think he's been dealing with something. I think a lot of these players have been to this point. With the early season kind of getting going here and the way he plays. I mean, he plays pretty physical for a guy who's a highlight reel when it comes to putting up points. We'll see. I mean, that means Chinnikov's probably going to move up in his spot, which would be a great opportunity for Yegor. And right now it's just stay with the same game plan, get the goaltending, and you're right. Find a way to get points. That's what they have to do with these injuries right now. So we'll see with Marchenko. He'll be a big loss, but that's obvious. But you know that now there's a team concept within this group that doesn't rely on one or two players to win a game. And I think the teams that have that can get through short-term injuries. So hopefully all of these, you know, Jenner and Gudbranson get back hopefully at some point here soon. And then Marchenko, hopefully it's not too long.
Well, it's a separator, right? I mean, this is what separates the teams who are playing in April and March and the teams that don't quite get there. It's the organizational depth because everyone's banged up. I mean, everybody's got injuries. So you got to be able to survive it when you do. And this one tonight, with it being a divisional game, only adds to it. And the fact that they're a point below you in the standings further adds to it. Sounds like it's going to be Elvis and Nett as well tonight. Jode, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think it's good. I think for Elvis now, he's got to find some rhythm. I think that there's a little bit of him that probably thinks he deserves more, but I think it's something where he has to earn more. And, you know, it's when you're a professional athlete, or I don't care what you're doing in life, when you sit back and wait for it to come your way because you think you've earned it on your previous play or previous work, until you figure out that you have to re-earn it or earn what's in front of you and you're in a competition and the guy you're competing with is playing really well and they're getting victories and points, you have to get to a point where you say, all right, this is on me. You know, I have to figure out how I come in and help this team win a game. And it's not a hero. It's not going to be a hero. It's going in to stop the puck, stay away from, like the other night in Winnipeg, he's distracted by Jonathan Toews in front of the net. He gives him a poke and the shot comes and it goes in. Mm-hmm. You know, those are things that's not what he's in there for. He's in there to get in front of the puck and control the play when he can and control the rebound. So I think it's a little bit of a reinvention time for him. You know what I mean? Like where it's like Jets doing this, it's your opportunity tonight to get in. And if you win, maybe you get to play a few games in a row and hopefully he just comes in and settles in and plays the game and they get the win.
It's not like it's a talent problem. He's got that. It's the rest of it. And we'll see how he responds to all of it. I was listening to Dean's post game from the game in Detroit, and he really didn't want to give any time to this notion of something that's kind of become a little bit of a trend, taking leads into the third, having leads into third, and then giving it all up and then being forced to overtime. Now, we've won some of these. We ended up losing the one over the weekend. And he was like, that's something you guys talk about. It's nothing I'm concerned about. Should he be concerned? And if not, where is that sentiment coming from Dean?
You know, excuse me, every team, I don't care, even the Colorado Avalanche, who have won regulation loss on the season, there's something that they can do better. There's an area where that needs to be improved on. And for the Blue Jackets, it was the power play still could be better, but the penalty kill, now they seem to have figured that out. That's because to me the goaltending is helped out. Every team has a push in the third period when they're down. That's how it's going to be. They're going to take more risks. And the other night I thought that the Blue Jackets played well enough to win. They should have won that game. But Detroit got the bounces and hung around through some good goaltending. And that's the greatest thing about professional sports and hockey. You don't know what's going to happen. The game's not over at 48 minutes. The game is 60 minutes. And I think that these lessons bode well for stretch runs and playoffs. I really do. So, yeah, what could they have done better in that game? Capitalize on one of their opportunities. I go back to the Monahan breakaway. You know, you go back three games ago or four games ago, they had a two-goal buffer against, I forget who it was, and they lost the game as it was a third-period loss. The next game, they got the third goal, which put them over the edge, and the other team still scored two goals, but they won by one. The pushes are going to be there. The bounces are going to be there. The intensity in battles goes up when the other team is down, and no one's going to go away in this league. So I think it's a mature thing where, you know, a team like Ottawa, who's really, to me, is become a mature team, they just play the game the same way no matter what's happening. And if they're down, they need to take risks. When you have the lead, you just keep playing the same way and bury your opportunities. And I think it is the next step for the Blue Jackets to have that maturity within games to just continue to play the same way. No matter what line you're on, no matter what's going on at the time, no matter how many points you have, you just keep playing the same way.
Buddy, we're about a quarter of the way into this thing. There are 14 teams in the Eastern Conference that are 500 or better. That is
a lot of overtime games.
Yeah.
A lot of injuries. And I go back to last season, and I was just kind of talking with this with Bob McGilligan on the plane the other night, because I told you all he does is talk. And I said, think of all the teams last year who thought, you know, they were in a playoff race in the East. You know what I mean? There was that feeling of they were in it all the way through, and I think that's carried over into this year. I think a lot of teams have made adjustments. The younger players are getting better. They learn from that opportunity of being in that race. There's teams that have made changes and overachieved and been, I'd say overachieved, but are higher than expected, like the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, everyone had them written for the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a combination of things, and I really just think everyone understands the urgency, especially the teams that were in the playoff race and missed by a point or two or four or even six, to get back and be the team that was the Montreal Canadiens last year and snuck in. So that's, and there's a lot of parity, a lot of, you know, missed goaltending hasn't been great everywhere. And I think the teams that are at the top have really, really good goaltending. And teams that have kind of leveled off and insured things up have good goaltending. I think in the next 20 games, you're going to see a little more separation here, though. The injuries are mounting up too far around, and teams now, I think that, you know, the schedule has changed a little bit. You see the Blue Jackets, a lot of Western games. I think we're going to see a lot more East here. Actually, not for a little bit, but once we get to that East on East, like tonight, mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot more of that, I guess like this whole week. You're going to see more separation.
This is why games like this is why this stretch is so important. These are all divisional games. It's a divisional game tonight. It's a divisional game on Friday, and it's a conference game on Wednesday. So these are all massive, massive ones.
But here's the deal. There's so many overtimes. You know, like look at the Blue Jackets. I think overtimes are up 10% to the 20 game mark this year. Shootouts. So it's like, okay. Teams play it safe. They want to get the extra point late in the game. The goaltenders, everybody's on page. You know, it's so if you have a week of that, there's not going to be much movement at all. If every team of this week gets a point, and one team gets two, well, then guess what? There's not a huge swing in the standings.
It's true. Very much. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you again.
Genuine math, right there. That's Canadian math.
It's a good job out of you. It's a very good job. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Safe flight back. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
All right, thanks. Have a great day. And let's see. I'll talk to you before Thanksgiving. So we'll do that on Wednesday.
All right, buddy. Talk soon. There it goes. A little bit of Shelly time on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Three things and an NFL game to pick tonight as well. It's all coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Ryan Day Daily Show brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. Coach, 42-9 win over Rutgers. Just your thoughts on that victory.
Well, senior day, so great to see our guys end with a win. And Cade Curry had a huge play in the game. I thought he played really hard, you know, overall, when you win the rushing yards the way we did, you know, over 250 and then holding them to 66 on 35 carries. That's a hell of an effort. Guys played hard. Guys played physical. And so now it's on to the rivalry.
Four running backs scored touchdowns in this game. You've said the running game was coming along. How pleased are you right now? And it looks like it's peaking at the right time.
Well, it needs to be. Yeah, we need to have balance. And, you know, guys played physical, guys played hard. You could see that. A lot of guys involved with it. Got the ball spread around. Max Clair had a really, you know, nice game. And it was good to see. And it was good to see us, you know, have a couple explosive runs as well. Good to see James get to the second level. And I think, you know, overall on offense, we average over 7 yards a play, you know, when we ran the ball, I guess, you know, 38 times. So efficiency was really good, and ball security is better be tight. We had too many balls on the ground today, so you know, we better learn from that real fast. But the effort was there, and it was good to see our seniors lead the right way on the field for the final time.
We'll have a final comment after this.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Injury's part of the game. Obviously, Carnell and Jeremiah did not play. It's a wait and see, right?
Well, it's day to day right now, and you know, I wish I could give more of an update, but you know, it's really that's what it is. And these guys are going to do everything they can to get back on the field, and we'll just try to take it day to day. That's all we can do.
You said it just a minute ago. It is rivalry week now. How quick do the thoughts go there, and what are you feeling?
Yeah, we're really excited about it. The locker room's fired up. You know, we're playing for hardware, and you know the guys know it. And so, you know, it's going to be a good night's sleep tonight. Wake up tomorrow and get right after it.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota Thon is on. Get in the spirit of the season with a new Toyota. Now through December 1st, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Corollas and Corolla Hybrids. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a gas-powered 26 Corolla LE for $199 a month for 39 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places. Toyota.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube. What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
And we've got a Monday Nighter.
We sure do, gentlemen. The Carolina Panthers are across the country to face division rival, the San Francisco 49ers. Bo, I don't understand this spread because the Carolina Panthers are the best team in the history of the NFL. But
that's
the
right.
49ers are favored. Big number at home, 7.
Yeah, it tells me somebody knows something because otherwise, I mean, I was really expecting this to be like Carolina 31.5, minus 31.5, something like that, over the Niners. I thought it'd be at least a 4-score game. So the fact that the Niners are favored by 7 tells me somebody knows something. I'm going to go Niners to take care of business just because somebody has to know something for this to look this way. I like the Niners, and I'll throw the 7.
Give me Carolina. The Panthers can't be stopped. They'll lose, but it'll
Reese,
be frisky.
You're 9-4. Nice week for you. Good job.
Yeah, are we doing pushes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you always get a push. It's cool. Not a loss. And I'm 8-5. So we'll either be tied or you'll have a 2-game win this week, one way or the other. What do we have in the poll today, Reese?
A Daily Fan poll asks, do you have more confidence in Ohio State's offense or defense playing well Saturday against Michigan? 95% say the defense.
Yeah, and I just think because you haven't seen receivers in a month. You haven't seen Carnell Tate since Penn State. Haven't seen Jeremiah since halftime last week. So I think that's probably where that comes from. Everything else has been very, very good. Time for three things on a Monday. Hit it, guys.
Thing or not a thing. One, two,
three things.
Sponsored by Sciota Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars reward spot.
Had a really nice Sunday. Number one for me, had a really nice Sunday morning, and the Browns didn't play until 4, so we had a little bit of time. So the boys were kind of sitting around on phones, and I'm like, all right, let's go. So we took Buddy Garrity. We went to the woods, and he is such a, I've trained him pretty well. So like, he won't go far. Like, if I whistle, he comes back every time. So we went in the woods. First time that Buddy's been, like, around creeks and rivers and, and some sort of a little bit of terrain situation. The dude had the time of his life. The boys were in full panic, especially Beamsy. He kept thinking he was going to run away. I'm like, dude, I have the food. He's not going anywhere. We're fine. But we'll do it again. He had a lot of fun in the woods, and the boys had a lot of fun chasing him around.
First thing for me, the guys over at 11 Warriors did the leg work in this. Snap counts in the game against Rutgers. 64 offensive snaps for Ohio State. Julian Sain had 52 at quarterback. Lincoln Keenholz had 12. Brandon Innes had 53 snaps at the wide receiver spot. David Adolph had 48. Bryson Rogers, 23. Mylon Graham, who could probably say is in the doghouse, 12.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. First thing for me, as a kid that grew up in the 90s, this week was really hard for a long time. But then Tressel and Urban took care of business, and you felt pretty confident coming into this week. Then the last 4 years happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying not to be negative heading into this game, and I'm usually a negative fan, but I'm trying not to be that because I just know Ohio State has the better team, and I was feeling pretty good. And then I woke up this morning and realized my phone that was working at 1:35 in the morning because I got a text message from Jody Shelley when he landed in LA saying he was good for today was no longer working. So now I got to go replace my phone today when I get out of here. And then I hear that Kirill Marchenko gets hurt at practice. This is not a good Monday to start rivalry week for me, daggone it.
It's not what you needed, Bake. This is not the Monday you needed. Go with the Apple phone. Now's your time. Now's the chance.
Gosh!
That way you can all be blue when we have the text messages. Number two for me. So people say, why are you so crabby around Thanksgiving? Well, I don't really care for the food much, to be honest. I don't care for it that much. It's not something I'd ever order at a restaurant. So that's it starts there. And then it hit me. It's partially because I have to do three Thanksgivings this week. Three Thanksgivings is a lot. It'd be one thing if it's just one. I got to do three. This is where the fatigue comes from, kids.
That's a great many Christmas. Or
it's a lot of Thanksgivings, Reese.
How many Christmases you got coming up?
Oh, my God. The whole month. Every Saturday is a different Christmas. The whole month of December. Never ends.
Second thing out of me, I want to give credit to whomever asked the question in the YouTube chat about the oldest first-time NFL MVP. We're having a conversation about the LA Rams. Mm. And if Stafford were to win it, he would be tied age-wise with Rich Gannon, who won it 37 years old in 2002. The thing would be if they award it after February 7th, then Stafford would receive the award at 38 years old.
Wow.
He's 37 right now. February 7th is the birthday for Matt Stafford.
I interviewed him as a five-star prospect at in Tallahassee. He was visiting Florida State on his way to Georgia when he was 16 years old.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Second thing for me, we got our assignments for the state football championships last night, and those weekends are always busy for me, but mine's a little busier this year, and it's pretty cool. The past couple years, I've done color for one of the games, and I'm going to do that this year for the Division IV game, Bo, with our buddy Brendan Gulick, so I'm excited about that. I also found out that I'll be doing play-by-play for the Division VII championship game this year, so I've not done that for a state championship football game yet. Pretty excited about that and for that weekend in 2 weeks.
Do you have a game this weekend?
I have not. I'm supposed to. I have not gotten that. We usually get those emails this afternoon sometime, so I've not received that yet.
Okay. So you could have this. You could have St. Henry. Could be
possible.
Yeah, be very cool. Finally, real quick, my wife Sunday decided that was a good time at 8:30 in the morning to have three people come over here and help her wrap the banisters with garland. It didn't age well for me. Yeah. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Like garland's the green stuff, right?
That's right. Yeah. Guess how many D batteries it took for the garland?
A great many.
18. 18.
Does it have lights?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's illuminated. It's magic.
Final thing from me. It looks like we're going to get some more interesting drama with Bill Belichick and his girlfriend Jordan Hudson. She claimed over the weekend she's going to be suing Pablo Torre.
Okay.
Who did extensive reporting on her, I guess, influence of the North Carolina football program. I feel like if you're Bill, this is the last thing you need because someone's going to be reporting on a potential lawsuit or potential court cases.
Guys, don't go anywhere. Rothman and Ice coming up next. 12:30, Jim Lachey. 1:30, Adam King. 2:30, former Buckeye Greg Fry. Congratulations to him, by the way. His son Jackson, yeah, the starting quarterback for St. X, a little upset over Elder this week. They're in the Final Four.
Very cool. You have that to look forward to, which is nice. We're back tomorrow, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
It's finally here. Rivalry Week.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers.
We're talking about the Buckeyes and meat chicken all damn week. Join us, The Fan.
Listen up.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FIRST.